So this is the first time that we've done this, but we are going to start doing a live breaking news coverage whenever possible. And that's thanks very much to our good friends at Slingbox. Use Slingbox to watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home. Now available at Best Buy. To learn more, find an in-store demo near you at slingbox.com. Tom Merritt, this is his first time.
Hello.
And actually, you're not getting paid, so...
So I'm a guest.
You're a guest.
No, we'll pay you for this.
I'm a guest of no one. Tom Merritt from nowhere.
Are you going to grow a beard now that you're not on Buzz Out Loud?
Playoff beard.
It's a playoff beard. So we do appreciate our friends at Slingbox who are making the live breaking news coverage possible on the Twit Network. We will do Windows Weekly at our normal time at 11 o'clock. And this week in Google... We'll be on at 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, 2000 UTC this afternoon with Gina and Jeff and special guests from Google. But we do expect some very big news from Google today at their I.O. conference, and that's why we decided to cover this live as we would have in the past covered a keynote from Steve Jobs. I think Google's treating the I.O. conference more like, say, a WWDC or a typical Apple keynote. So they are streaming it on their YouTube channel. We'll go to that from time to time. That's youtube.com/Google Developers.
We do expect them to talk about the TV thing. What else do you think we're going to hear about?
I have on good authority, I have some sources that there's going to be a big announcement on the video codec issue. You know, HTML5
right,
doesn't
they bought the codec.
They bought On2 and yeah. VP8. And it's been the hope of everybody, including Mozilla, which has, you know, Internet Explorer and Apple both have endorsed H.264, but that's an encumbered.
It is an open standard, but a closed piece of property.
Yeah. MPEG-LA owns it. Of course, Microsoft and Apple both are on the MPEG-LA board.
Which isn't a bad system. It's just not entirely open.
Well, and that's the fear is that, you know, at some point you could, for instance, when you buy a consumer-grade camcorder, I didn't know this, but it's in the...
Oh, yeah.
It's in the EULA that you can't use it for commercial purposes.
Right. Nilay Patel did a good article telling people not to panic about that because they basically said, look, we're not going to enforce that if you go.
Yeah,
you know,
well, they say so now,
YouTube.
Right.
But that's the problem is legally they could.
Right. He's talking about HTML5 right now.
That last spike, hey, we'll take support from wherever we can get it.
That's Google's search traffic.
Included Microsoft's support for HTML5.
So I expect there's going to be an announcement about a video codec. We're hoping that Google will open source VP8 or related codec. The problem right now with VP8...
Do we need another codec, though?
Well, VP3, which is Ogg Theora, or Ogg Theora is based on VP3, is not as good as H.264. So what we need is an H.264 quality codec.
That's totally open.
And it's... It would be in Google's interest to create such a thing. So I expect that. I expect Google TV. We'll see some Android announcements, probably Froyo. That's 2.2 of Android.
Well, we hope to show you our proposed answers to some of these questions at this conference.
Will they update us on the Wi-Fi data that they stole?
They may say something about that. I bet
they won't.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect it.
It's all happening because we're working on it together, and we think this... conference is an important part of that process. Before I hand off to our opening keynote speaker, let me just make two housekeeping announcements. The first announcement is I hope you all enjoyed the Android devices that we sent you as part
of. So remember, this is the developers conference. Everybody who signed up for it got either a Motorola Droid or if you were out of the US, a Nexus One.
Already done so?
Why didn't I
because,
sign up?
Yeah, really.
Specifically
you still have to pay for service.
Just do a search on
and we might hear about the Google storage thing. And you'll
find this yeah, that's an interesting story that leaked yesterday on CNET that they were going to do an S3 competitor.
Yeah.
Find the sessions that interest you.
Makes sense.
I can't hear him.
The second and last housekeeping note. Tomorrow's keynote will not start at 9 a.m.
It will start more housekeeping here.
8:30 in the morning. Now, I know that's early in the morning, particularly for you developers.
We also plan to get a number of people on later in the day during this week in Google, and maybe today as well. We're going to have Eric try to get some people on to comment on what goes on today at the keynote.
All right. With that, let me hand off to our opening keynote speaker who will carry
I know Gina's hoping for Google Wave news as well.
She's in Google Wave right now hoping for Google
Wave. Yeah, I've got to go to that Wave.
Sundar Pichai.
And I'm really hoping, frankly, for buzz improvements. I'm a big buzz fan.
Yeah, I know. You've been using that a lot.
I love it, and it needs an API for third party.
Thanks, Vic. It's great to be here. I'm going to be
smaller version
to you today
of Vic
about HTML5, the incredible momentum we have, all the new capabilities that are coming up, how modern browsers are going to support these APIs. We will show you real world examples. We will invite application developers who are building amazing experiences on top of HTML5. And finally, we'll have a couple of important announcements on the way.
That's what we're waiting for. So remember, this is a developers conference, just like WWDC, and they're speaking to developers. They're trying to get people to develop. Obviously, for HTML5, is more important at this point to them than Android.
So Apple will be pleased with that part of the announcement anyway.
Yeah.
To every other information. Wow, people are spending more of their time on the web.
What a shock.
In terms of the amount of time.
Google has said that in the last 5 years, as long as people use the internet, they make money. So that's their business.
Is to get people to use the internet.
They don't need to charge for codecs. They don't need to charge for Google Docs because they make money on advertising.
I doubt that 0% TV figure that just flashed up there. I mean, I know it's small, but I don't think it's flat.
It's not zero.
Microsoft Office, iTunes.
In fact, it seems like people watch more TV than ever before. In fact, all the stats I've seen, people are watching more TV than ever before.
Yeah, exactly.
The interesting thing
did I miss? Oh, I left out a T.
Since 2004, we couldn't come up with popular desktop applications.
Two R's, two I's, and two T's.
That's
that are being used by millions.
That's Finnish, Tomas Marie.
That's the Finnish spelling
from NSFW.
It turned out, it is the year in which Ajax and the Web 2.0 revolution.
I like the ICQ logo that was in there.
People started writing these applications.
Does anybody still use ICQ?
Web applications. Applications which you're all very familiar with. Gmail, Google Maps, Facebook, Twitter, etc. The world changed. The web changed from documents to applications. And developers started reaching users by writing web applications.
So it's a short history of the internet.
Desktop application.
Zynga is in there. Zynga just signed a 5-year deal with Facebook, so they're not going to go off to their own platform.
That was
platform.
A devilish little negotiation.
Yeah, Mark Pincus is no fool, obviously.
Throwing a fit, saying they're going to leave.
Maybe. That was a TechCrunch story. You know, I'm starting to take TechCrunch stories with
oh, you should always take them with a
bigger
big
grain
table
of
salt. Shaker
yeah,
salt.
Yeah,
yeah,
no
absolutely.
Kidding. So we don't really know if Mark Pincus was thinking of leaving. All we know is that Mike Arrington thought Mark Pincus was...
Web applications have been limited in what they can do. This is what the HTML5 work is all about. We are working very hard as a community to make sure all these capabilities show up in the browser. Let me give a few examples. Most computers today ship with powerful GPUs. How do you make sure web applications can access
these? Here's Gina's wave.
That's what WebGL and the graphics APIs are all about. Workers. It is about allowing web applications to access the multiple.
You want a cup of coffee? Oh, you see, you got to come here and have the coffee.
There are APIs to access the local file system.
We have good
local
coffee
storage,
here.
Speaker, microphone, camera, and the list goes on. All this matters only if browsers support these APIs. So let's take a look at how we are doing there. About 24 months ago, this effort had just gotten underway. There was pioneering work here by Firefox, Safari, Opera, and Chrome didn't even exist then. So this is about 24 months ago, and the effort had just gotten underway. So let's fast forward to where we were last year during Google I.O. You can see the momentum was there. Set of APIs being implemented in all modern browsers, including Chrome. So the progress was very exciting. So where do we expect to be by the end of this year? As you can see, all the major APIs are going to be present in all modern browsers. So
no, they're trying to make it look like HTML5 will be everywhere.
Except for... Well, I guess it will be. It'll be an IE9.
Yeah.
You as developers can bank on these APIs being present in the browsers when users reach your applications. Another important trend is mobile. All of you are carrying a smartphone here today. The interesting thing there is the smartphones are all web-connected with
There's
capable browsers.
There's one smart ass in the audience going, I don't have
this
a smartphone.
This is looking at search traffic, the mobile search traffic that hits Google. And if you look at the proportion that comes from HTML5-capable browsers, it's far outpacing the other browsers as well. So HTML5 is everywhere. So the question is, how do we make use of it? How do we all make use of it to create amazing experiences for users? So
Gina's
I want to show you a few examples.
You can hear the droid throughout the audience as people boot up their devices.
Invite Jeff Chang, who's the product manager on the
It's the first thing you do when you get a Motorola Droid is you change the default sound.
How Gmail has built two simple yet very powerful features on top of HTML5. So let's get started. So Jeff is loading Gmail. It turns out one of the most popular features in Gmail is sending email. And most people tend to attach files when they do that. If you're using a traditional desktop application like Outlook, it's very intuitive.
Oh, I see what you mean by the balls everywhere now. I'm sorry.
I had no idea what you were talking about until I saw Gina's wave. He can drag that photo very intuitively and just drop it in Gmail.
That's a new feature in
Simple,
Gmail.
Simple, but very powerful. What most users do on their day-to-day lives. A second such example is around notifications. You know, it's very common for you to be in a web application which has notifications associated with it. For example, Google Chat is built into Gmail. The question is, how do you receive that notification when you're not on Gmail? So, but now using the HTML5 notifications email, notifications API, Jeff can receive the email from Bob, I guess, even when he's not on Gmail. So two examples, the file API and notifications API, and Gmail is implementing to deliver powerful features to our users. So at this point, I would like to invite, we want to show you real-world examples, people all over the community building great applications on top of HTML5. So I would like to invite first Charles Pritchard from MockTug and Jim Lanzone from Clickr.com.
You say Flickr or Clickr? MockTug. I'm familiar with that one.
Hello, everyone. My name's Charles Pritchard. I'm the CEO behind MockTug. I've come here to preview our latest software development. It's an application we call Darkroom. In 2006, Michael Diehl and I created an HTML4 website called MockTug Studio. It used cloud services to allow people to edit their images, apply effects, etc. It was slow and it used a lot of bandwidth. But now, this year, with HTML5 support growing, we're able to bring MockTug Darkroom onto the client side. Now, when I say client side, I mean that we're untethered, we're not connected to the internet, or at least we don't need to be. I'm going to go ahead and unplug and show you that indeed we are offline, unless the Wi-Fi, of course, picks up. So we're offline, and we're still in the cache.
Gina's complained about that already, so they can't really participate in the wave.
HTML5 APIs. One of them is application cache. We also use local storage and the file reader. Our GUI is in Canvas 2D context.
Kevin's observing that MockTug.
I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to start using the
HTML5 app.
You can see here we have a few beautiful
photos. So this
photos.
Is equivalent to the part of the any Apple keynote where you bring up the parade
yeah,
of
these
the
are all
yeah,
served from the local
without
computer.
The polish, of course.
But what I'd like to do is go ahead and work with one that has
usually you bring up the developers again, after you here. Announce the technology. This is more just
excellent
an ad for HTML5.
You'll notice a few things wrong with this photo. It's
what, it seems like what they did was
so
they threw out the numbers, talked about HTML5, and now it's the HTML5
very
developers.
Wild, I know.
Right.
And the next thing we're going to do here is you can tell that the camera flash has brought out that infamous red eye effect. So I'm going to go ahead here, and I'm going to give him a much more natural appearance.
So this is an HTML5 kind of photo editor.
It's much better.
Wow, that's good.
Much better.
That was
anyway,
quick.
That wasn't bad.
What you do see here
that's
is
better than Lightroom.
Generation of application. It's quick to load, it's quick to close, and it's quick to use. I'm previewing it on the latest.
By the way, which has as he pointed out, the Wi-Fi is so bad.
The application
in the hall that he's doing this cached locally.
And it's using the Canvas 2D context for
do you think that makes a difference?
We're going to see a lot more of these in the future.
I think
that's a selling point.
That you can do it as a
selling can do it offline. Yeah,
the speed could be better because it's cached, though, for sure.
Well, of course, yeah.
My name's Charles Pritchard. This is MockTug Darkroom, and I invite you to visit us in the sandbox if you'd like some more information or if you'd just like to play around with some of the other image effects we have going on.
Mercifully
thank
short.
You.
Yeah, I like that kind of demo. It's photo editing software from Darkroom.
Clickr. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought he said Clickr. Gina was all excited it was Flickr.
So we launched Clickr.com a few months ago.
I like Clickr.
Called TV Guide for the Web. It's essentially a massive database.
Like yeah, I've toyed around with it. It works really well.
But it's focused just on the premium programming available on the web across web originals, broadcast television, movies, music videos, because, you know, it's no longer about when things are on or having a schedule grid. It's about where they're on and whether they're on.
And, that's true. And yeah, and that's the one thing that Clicker does that I haven't seen anybody else do very well.
Who, you know, here's web originals, here's TV.
We launched a few months ago, and
so it's
a lot of our users
independent of your cable company.
You decide what you want to watch, and then it tells you how to watch it.
Televisions are using a Mac Mini to do so. And Clicker.com was definitely geared towards the 2-foot experience. It's a website. So they've wanted to be able to use us in that 10-foot experience. So we're here today to launch Clicker.tv, which is our 10-foot
chat room's pointing out that they spelled it wrong. They used an E.
There's no E in Clicker.
There's no E in Web 2.0 properties.
A lot like a downloadable application or a plugin or something you might have to buy a box to attach to your TV. But it's actually native to the browser. You just go to Clicker.tv to use it. It does this thanks in large part to HTML5.
I'm on .com.
Using Canvas, Web Worker Threads, the local storage API. And, of course, it really
I'm, of course, using Chrome.
Like Chrome. Even though it works in all browsers, it really shines, and you see the speed of this.
This is the TV version.
You'll see, let's just go into, let's say, a show. So let's start with Charlie Rose. It's an example I like to use. And you'll see, just start searching on your keyboard, and it just appears. You don't even have to go to the search box. And Chrome likes to show itself off. And you see all the Charlie Rose episodes that have been online going back to 1994, all organized by season. Or another example, let's say I want to watch this online show called Pigeon Impossible, which is a Pixar-like short. So again, I just start typing
Pigeon. So it doesn't care where it came from, which I like.
The actual show page.
Yeah, it's not like a Comcast-run property.
Well, and it's like Boxy, but it's unlike Boxy in the sense that it is rendered in the browser entirely.
And just hit enter, and then I just hit play.
I guess he's getting Wi-Fi. He's using Chrome and Windows XP, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I didn't work. I had no scripts blocking it.
There's a lot of scripting.
So let's say instead I want to watch actually broadcast television. Now, we don't host all programming. To be the TV guy to the web, you have to be truly comprehensive across
look
and unbiased
at the web,
across
the web
everything,
content
even the
that they've got on here.
Host.
Yeah,
so
I don't see Twit. We have to work
example,
on that.
Go back to the homepage and then try the show Lost. I'm not sure how many of you were watching that 12 hours ago like I was, hoping that finally they would someone would ask a follow-up question.
It's got to This Week in Startups, but not This Week in Tech.
Hey, now.
So let's say we want to watch the last episode that's online.
That's interesting.
Again, just go to the show, hit enter, you get to the show. In this case, you're being taken to ABC's website.
Okay, I don't like Clicker anymore.
comes up,
not until they add you.
To play.
When they add us.
Or you can hit full screen to get it all the way there. But again, very easy.
Oh, this is even worse.
Just hit the backspace button or the delete button, and you get back to the programming
guide. They not only don't have Twit, they have Twits.
I want to add it to my playlist.
Which is stock Twits.
Side,
oh, no, it's celebrity Twitter feeds.
I can add to my playlist and then
fail.
The left-hand side of the page.
Okay, I don't like this company.
I can go into my
playlist. You suck.
just using the arrow keys or my configured remote, and you see all these.
Yeah, I haven't used this Clicker.tv thing before. This is interesting.
It's beautiful. I can see you'd use this on a Mac Mini without having to install Plex or XBMC. You just you launch your browser.
So I've saved all these things. You can also then browse 1,400 categories.
Too bad it's so limited on the categories it has.
You can even sort by theme.
It's really best for broadcast TV. That's what I played around with. It's like you want to find out where to watch. I don't know. You know, Monster Garage, and you have no idea how to find it.
If you're a subscriber to watch. So that's Clicker.tv. Again, purely native. You just go to that website, and very, very rich. Thanks in large part.
All the arrow keys work.
Five and the guys at Chrome. We are in the sandbox. And
can't believe
you guys
they
have
Twit on there.
Thanks for having us. Have a great next couple of days. Thanks.
Loser. It's actually beautifully done.
Thanks. So it's great to see these applications. We'll have many more on the way. And these are all built on HTML5 and work great in the browser. One of the interesting things that Clicker.com showed is the use of video. Video is one of the most important forms of communication on the web. Just like images are very popular on the web. But as developers, when you use images on the web, you have a plethora of choice and formats, including an open and freely implementable format like PNG. We think video
okay, watch this
should have
carefully.
A great great free and
here comes the video.
Alternative as well. It's really important for the web to have
comparing PNG to JPEG and GIF, which are encumbered.
High quality and open. So we've been thinking hard about this problem.
Although not as successful.
We are very, very committed to this. And we have invested over $120 million in acquiring Onto Technologies to contribute towards this vision. So today, we want to talk about VP8, but before that, let me tell you a little bit about Onto. We got to know this team last year. They're a set of passionate, committed engineers. They're based in Clifton Park, New York. They've been working on the video space since 1992. So when we started taking a look at VP8, we were very impressed with its quality. The VP line of codecs has had over 2 billion installs and has been adopted by products like Flash, Skype, etc. It's really suited for the web. To serve video on the web, you need to deal with a lot of varying conditions from a bandwidth standpoint, from a client standpoint. There are many, many mobile devices which are connecting to the web as well. VP8 is really good at adapting to these varying conditions. They're very efficient with bandwidth as well. We sell over 2 billion video views per day on YouTube, and so we really care about bandwidth costs. And so VP8 is very efficient with bandwidth. In addition, we believe it's the best-in-class codec for real-time streaming as well.
That's the issue. Can it compete with H.264?
And so today, we would like to announce that we are fully open-sourcing VP8 under a completely royalty-free license.
This is WebM. That was the Google. Open-source, royalty-free. And it will be Vorbis compatible.
We are working with many people in the community to do this. And so there's a project called WebM, which we are announcing today, in conjunction with many partners. And it's an open web media project. It will have VP8 as the video codec, and it'll be packaged with an open source audio codec, Vorbis. You can
find
more details about this at the project site.
But we're going to have to go back to putting out Vorbis versions of our content.
Yeah, not Vorbis VP8. But that's the thing. It's now going to set up a battle between H.264 and this. Whereas before, it looked like H.264 was definitely going to crush Vorbis.
Well, and Apple and Microsoft have both pointed out that Theora, they think, has patent issues. And the question is, and Theora is VP3. The question is really, is this completely unencumbered?
Huge investment in open web and open video.
Google's got lawyers.
We're now at a time whose idea
and,
has
and
come.
Other patents.
Industrial strength,
this is very good news.
Royalty-free video with a high-quality open source implementation.
Mozilla will jump on this,
and
they haven't yet
More importantly,
declared support for any codec.
It will also have millions of kitten videos. As of today, I'm very pleased to
this
share
is important.
With you.
Listen.
YouTube will be supporting the WebM video format as part of its HTML5 beta.
Of course they are.
They've started converting their entire catalog, beginning with the higher quality videos at 720p and above, and that'll continue over time.
That's great.
With this, you can use high quality video.
Now what we need is streaming as well.
With great performance.
So WebM is what they're going to be.
WebM is the handle name.
Yeah. YouTube just likes to re-encode their entire library a lot.
Over and over again. They've written the Python scripts. It's just a plugin.
HTML5 reach its full potential. Since Firefox 3.5, almost 2 years ago, we've been shipping the open source Theora codec and working with those developers
who are visionaries,
really, in seeing the importance of
the universal video. We actually wanted to get him on to talk about this.
We're excited that they're joining with us as well in supporting the WebM project and have already started working on the code.
It makes me think of WebMD every time he says it.
Video is key to the web experience. And because of that,
as long as they don't have Everett Koop as their spokesperson,
web, not just technically, but also in terms of the terms of its use, JavaScript, CSS, HTML, SVG, HTTP, all of these technologies are usable with no strings attached, under any terms you want to build anything you want. We wouldn't accept that HTML was only licensed to be used for documents and not applications. We wouldn't accept that you couldn't distribute what you do with CSS unless you signed a license. We've seen what happens and how much disruption it can cause when the terms of a platform change at the whim of one organization.
And
the web needs
GIF
to be above that.
And the battle
the web's growing important capabilities.
GIF format. Yeah. Only old farts will remember that.
To be clear, I didn't make that happen. The web's growing important capabilities, and as it does that, the demands on browsers increase. We're working at Mozilla to make sure that every part of the stack is ridiculously fast. This means taking advantage of graphics, on computers and mobile devices. It means taking advantage of multiple cores and DSPs, and, as you'll see, hardware from other WebM partners. The VP8 codec itself, in taking advantage of multiple cores, specializing for low power and embedded devices, is not only a great codec for today, but it'll scale with us as the web does in the future. I say every year that it's a great time to be a web developer, and every year I get to be right about at least that. Open video is now here in high quality. Excuse me.
Yeah, Unisys had the patent for the GIF format, and there was a big battle over
it.
Yeah.
Like text, like images, like CSS.
And that's what gave rise to PNG.
What you can do when it's built into the stack.
Although, will we see the same thing where GIF and JPEG settle out and still stay the dominant format, and PNG just kind of putts along as a nice alternative?
And about 450 lines of HTML, CSS.
Or will this time be different?
Anybody in the room could read through it.
Well, unfortunately, Microsoft and Apple have a lot to say in this, and they are investors in MPEG LA and H.264.
Built into the platform. You can select it.
Is Google not?
You can localize it. You can search index it.
I don't ever see their name included.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And Apple doesn't even have that many patents. It only has a handful in MPEG LA. They could pull out of it, I suppose. Will Apple stick with their anti-Adobe closed rhetoric and move over to this? I doubt it.
Well, they really ought to, because this is the same issue. Firefox will be supporting WebM.
Discover we weren't. We don't. Our ambitions don't end there. We want to see
so Clicker TV does work on the iPad.
Devices. We want to see this available to every
user
to take advantage of the great things you people are going to build on top of this platform.
Let's see if the video does that.
Kicked off today.
I guess that's going to depend on where the video is coming from.
Start building your applications now. And I want to thank you. Excuse me. As we get this technology out to 400 million users on MAMO and Android devices as well, I want to thank you for your time today. I want to thank you for building a fantastic web.
Well, Kevin Marks has an interesting point on the wave here. It says it means the chance of imposing fees in the future from MPEG LA just went away.
Right.
Because you've got a
Google-backed
competition.
Yep. Now, there is a question in the chat room, and I think a good question of quality. H.264 is known for the quality. I have been told by people in the know that this is not exactly VP8, that it is better quality. It has the hitting. It has the streaming capabilities.
Opera's coming on stage.
I'm hearing good things about this WebM. I'm not sure the difference between it and VP8.
It's a fantastic day for the web. I'm very proud to be here. My name is Håkon Wiemli. I'm the CTO of Opera Software. 3 years back, in February 2007...
Now, did he close Chrome?
Gina said he had to tab through the Chrome windows to get to
Opera.
Get to Opera.
Yeah.
We wanted there to be a video on the web. The video was missing. We had text, we had images, we had...
Well, that's the big question is support for H.264 is built into NVIDIA hardware.
Right.
And there are a lot of H.264 hardware and code chips. Black Magic cards and things like that. And there is currently no support for VP8. So I think really the key is going to be hardware support.
A high-tech...
I want to see NVIDIA take the stage after Opera.
That would be
if NVIDIA takes a stage, then we've got something.
And the great
or Intel, I suppose. But NVIDIA takes the stage, huge.
It's actually a big opportunity for Intel.
Tim didn't patent HTML. I didn't patent CSS. Brendan didn't patent JavaScript. We need for there to be an open and freely usable format for video on the web, and I think WebM is it. So I'm very proud to demo Opera here, running, showing WebM. The video you're seeing here is this is from the 17th of May celebration in Oslo. We do this every year to celebrate the video tag.
To celebrate the video.
And you can download Opera with WebM support in it if you go to this URL there, labs.opera.com.
Is this the running of the Norwegians? I don't
He said that was a parade to celebrate the video tag.
Now, the video tag is not going to be alone on the screen. Here I've added a few more things. Except from the video, though, there's no images on this screen. The heading here is web fonts, selectable fonts.
Uh-huh.
Really tying WebM into HTML5.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can see that he nods in approval. for WebM here.
This is an interesting rhetorical device against Apple.
This is also CSS transitions down here. We can do a whole lot declaratively now without the need for JavaScript. There is some JavaScript here, though. You can see the national anthem has been rendered at the bottom there, and that's done in the canvas element.
I love how they've zoomed in so that you don't know this is opera.
To render musical.
Or maybe it isn't opera.
So all this is coming together now. we think that
it's opera.
Video, being a first-class citizen,
this is Hakon
will
Lee,
join the
other
the, content types
CTO
that we have, and we
opera
will have very
speaking.
Rich web pages in HTML and CSS3. My prediction is that we can, if we use these techniques right, we can get rid of half the images of the web, because they're mostly there for styling.
Welcome,
purposes.
Kelvington.
But by adding
Kelvington's
all this
video a Buzz
stuff,
Out Loud the viewer who's followed you. You know,
master of mashups.
Is he?
Yeah.
Thank you, Kelvington.
He did a whole Doctor Who Star Trek DVD. It's fantastic.
So to the web community, I'd like to say, start using this. We need to go out with our video cameras. We all have video cameras in our pockets.
Yeah, but they all shoot AVC HD.
This guy in Germany just went to his local zoo and filmed the octopus. And it's fantastic how this video presentation really increases the educational value of
Fatty
Wikipedia
or just think of all the pornographic images you can put
video,
in Wikipedia now.
It's truly
oh, no, never mind.
To Google, I'd like to say thank you. It's very civil of you to spend time and money getting WebM off the ground.
And Hamiltus.
To the open.
Nothing from Android yet, Hamiltus. We're just talking VBA. This is the biggest story that I've been interested in.
Yeah, so far it's all about open sourcing the VP8 codec as WebM. So you'll hear it talked about as WebM a lot, as an H.264 competitor.
And this in conjunction with HTML5, because HTML5 needs a standard video codec.
And we truly believe that web access is going to be one of the human rights of this century. Thank you.
Now, Craig 612, I was referring to the Wikimedia kerfuffle over Jimmy Wales removing pornographic images from Wikipedia and then being banned.
Thanks, Mike and Hakon. So it's really exciting. One of the core tenets which underlies the web success is that it's based on open
I'm reading
like
in the future because Gina's wave is always ahead of
is
what
it ahead
saying.
Of the video?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Video get that option as
Let's
well.
Let's see what's coming.
He's going to say, so, wave, should I
wave,
spoil it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Wave is now open to
for
all.
An effort like this to be
no invites.
Oh, she says no mention in the keynote yet, but blog post is live.
Oh, so she's getting that.
She's ahead of even
seconds.
The keynote.
Look at her. Go, Gina.
So we've been reaching out to many, many partners.
Okay, now quick, let's parse this slide. Hardware, AMD,
NVIDIA,
Qualcomm, Freescale. Those are all the mobile platforms.
Yeah.
I don't see Intel.
Yeah, that's a big omission.
TI.
Like Warbus and Tira. So we are very grateful to what they've done, and we are looking forward to working with them. Secondly, for VP8 and WebM to succeed, it's really important that we have hardware support, especially given how many mobile devices are getting connected to the web and serving videos. So hardware acceleration is very, very important, and we are working with many, many hardware partners and publishers. You can see the names on the list, and we are working very hard to make a highly optimized RTL freely available soon to our hardware partners. So we've talked about HTML5 APIs, how modern browsers are supporting these APIs, and given you examples of real-world applications. We have more examples on the way, but at this point, I would like to invite Kevin Lynch, CTO of Adobe. Adobe has been doing a lot of work to support HTML5, including providing tools.
Adobe has done a lot of work to support HTML5. So they really have. What?
This is interesting.
Yeah.
Now, Flash is right now just a wrapper for a variety of codecs, including a VP6 codec.
And
so they could,
is great.
They could say we're going to support VP8.
Smell on the web, and seeing the examples here this morning,
they need to.
And seeing what's possible now in HTML, and you know, at Adobe, we've been for over 25 years now enabling people to express themselves using a variety of technologies, and it's really fun to see new technologies come out like this that people can take advantage of in expressing themselves, and we're really excited to work on enabling that to happen. Of course, we work on a variety of technologies at Adobe, and today, though, I want to focus on HTML5 and what we're doing around that technology, and I'm going to give you three examples of some of the work that we're doing in support of HTML5. So the first thing I wanted to show you is what we're doing in Dreamweaver. And you know, Dreamweaver is the most popular pro HTML editing tool besides Notepad. And I'd like to show you some stuff we're doing in here. This is a website that we've mocked up. And one of the areas that we've been really looking at here in support of HTML is how do you actually do this with HTML5 across screens? Because now, obviously, we're all starting to target multiple devices. And so we're working here with HTML5 and a new capability that we're adding to Dreamweaver CS5, and it's called multi-screen preview. And
so this is just Dreamweaver can do good HTML5.
See a 3-up of your website design so you can understand how it's going to look across these devices. And you can see right now it doesn't look that good across these devices. But you can use CSS, of course, to customize your design. So what we're doing is making it really easy to hook up alternate CSS style sheets based on media queries. And so, for example, if I want to have a phone-sized one here and a tablet-sized one and maybe a desktop-sized one, I can set the width of each of these different style sheets so that when it hits that width, it will show that particular style sheet with the site. And then I'll press OK. And now you can see your design in three different formats. The same HTML5 code underneath, but now you're able to see three different renditions with CSS. And in fact, doing this production right now, it's really hard to understand how your stuff's working. You have to keep trying in all these different devices. We also support navigation here. So if I want to click, I can start playing through my site and see where I still need to work on my site some more. So this is going to be a big productivity increase for people trying to do HTML5 across devices. Now,
will those HTML5 pages be allowed to run on the iPad?
Also do,
not if they're done in Dreamweaver. No, sorry.
We check the code
authoring.
We look at that doc type.
Do CSS things. For example, when I'm changing this page here, and actually you can see it changing between the different styles.
Yeah, now they're using Windows 7, which is a good thing.
So as you're editing the code, you can see the different views live while
this is not Chrome. This is Dreamweaver.
CSS for it. And right now, there's
running
not
in a
much
native
of an
application.
Effect on these. But if I want to, I can actually make this go bigger here if I want to. Let me get the tablet one. There we go. See, it's popping up right there, but it's not very smooth. And so if I can add actually transition. Part of the new work that's going on in CSS.
This is nice. I mean, if you want to do HTML5, it would be nice to have this kind of hardware.
Attributes in CSS. So I can do a WebKit transition here. And if I want to make it do
still
like maybe a half a second transition, I can go and roll over. And now you can see I get a smooth rollover rather than the jerky one from before. And so that's supporting all the new transition effects in CSS in live view inside Dreamweaver so you can start editing. And, of course, this does
gradual yes, he does.
Do me.
Have browsers that support these versus ones that don't. But it works consistently now in the author.
I don't have Gina's. Let me see. How do I get the URL of this wave?
How do we support
I'm looking at it as an embed on smarterware.org.
Oh, okay. There's a way to do it. Smarterware.org.
And this is a table that has some availability for the one table that's in this cafe. And you can see it's booked or it's free. And it would be better if I had a picture showing the availability here. So let's go over to Illustrator. And Illustrator already supports SVG. We're working on some enhancements, though. And here's a graphic of a time clock. It's just a bunch of shapes and colors. And I'm going to actually connect this with JavaScript and CSS and make it a dynamic clock that shows the free and busy times at the cafe. And to first set.
So, is it important at all that this rhetorically isolates Apple?
Here in Illustrator. And from Illustrator,
this really takes away a lot of their points about why you should play in their sandbox. Adobe's saying, "Hey, we also support HTML5 too, and we'll do this web." I'm assuming they're going to say they're going to do a WebM support in a container because why wouldn't they? Google's sort of circling the horses here.
I don't think it isolates Apple. Apple's, in fact, just saying we will support HTML5. They're using WebKit, which is exactly what Chrome is using. So I don't think that in any way this isolates Apple. I think, in fact, this validates Apple saying, no, we want to move towards HTML5 and web standards. We want to move away from the move away from Flash is a move towards HTML5. What Adobe's not saying here is what they're going to do about Flash. I mean, they're committed to Flash as a development tool. This doesn't address that at all. This merely says that their other development tool, Dreamweaver, will give you nice HTML5 tags automatically. What I'd like to hear them say is, we will support the VPA codec in Flash. That'd be a big step forward. They do support VP6. That's the default in Flash media encoders, VP6.
What I wanted to show you is some further out thinking that we're doing about how we can do animations inside of CSS and JavaScript and HTML5. So
Flash is just a wrapper for a video codec when you're playing back video. And the truth is, you can unwrap. It's an easy was an easy thing for Google, for instance, to do with YouTube, is unwrap the Flash video and just put the native H.264 up. Now they're doing somewhat more, something more difficult, which is to convert, transcode the H.264 into VP8. That's a little more churning involved.
And when I go to a different state, it animates automatically. Now, I want a bike to come in here. So to do that, I'm just going to make the different shapes that I have defined.
Yeah, Google I.O. says Apple's fight is with ActionScript. And that's the 3.1.1 issue, which is you can't use ActionScript to code for the iPhone. That's another matter. That's a second bone of contention.
To the right. So it's
but they've used all kinds of rhetorical tricks to defend that I think are being blown apart a little bit here.
Well, no, I think no, not at all. I think that there's a difference between coding an app and coding for a web page. This is doing is supporting coding in HTML5, which Apple wants you to do.
Right, and it shows that Adobe is not against that. Adobe is not
and
some
they'd be
kind of
crazy
evil
to do that in Dreamweaver. I mean, Dreamweaver supports really most people use Dreamweaver at this point to do CSS. And so this is just, you know, and it's a good JavaScript tool because it does the cross-platform encoding automatically.
And I want the bike to fly in, be visible, and show up.
No, I agree. Sub-Zero is saying the problem is H.264 is encumbered. That's exactly why we're excited about VP8.
Different states set up.
I'd like to see Apple support WebM.
Well, what we really need is a streaming company like Ustream or Justin or BitGravity to support WebM.
Mm-hmm.
We could then, because we are really kind of limited. The reason everything we do is in Flash or H.264 is that's what our partners offer. Ustream and Justin offer unwrapped H.264. That's what you use if you're watching us on the iPad or iPhone app, or if you watch us natively on the iPhone. That's H.264. We'd be glad to do VP8, but we can't afford to serve the thousands and thousands of people who watch live.
It seems like it's similar to the hardware issue right now. He glossed over it. He said, we've got hardware partners, and we're going to work with them.
Yeah, but you didn't see Qualcomm on there. You did see they're the Snapdragon folks. You did see companies that
so it'll happen.
Yeah,
it's early days,
right?
Innovation continuing, and we're really excited to see the.
It'll be a while, at least a year before you see phones and computers with hardware VP8 WebM support. I'm sure.
And we're going to distribute VP8 to over a billion people in less than a year of its release. So we're going to really help push out the VP8 codec.
But I got to rewind that because what did he just say? It sounded like support for VP8 from Adobe.
The other area we're working on is, of course, we're working with Google on a bunch of devices with Flash, and you're going to see a lot more of that on day two. We're really excited about it, and we're really happy with
Android. The new Android 2.2 Froyo supports Flash 10.1, and in fact, when you apparently launch a phone with 2.2 on it, it immediately, you know, and the browser immediately pushes you to a site with Flash.
We've seen these great web applications and what you can do with HTML5, but I want to talk about a couple of problems which remain on the web. The first is that it is very hard for users to find web applications. In the earlier days, literally, you could walk into a retail
store. Because the search engine sucks.
By the way, we want to thank our friends at Slingbox for making this possible. They are our sponsor for Breaking News. You'll see more Breaking News on twit.tv. Thanks to Slingbox. Use Slingbox to watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home. Now available at Best Buy. To learn more and to find an in-store demo near you, visit slingbox.com. We use Slingboxes to transmit video. So does, I just learned, ABC and others to transmit video over the internet. It's that good.
I've tried to do so. It turns out there are many, many great chess games on the web, but it's very hard to find one which is really good. There's no way for you to get ratings and reviews. You can search for it, but you can't see ratings, you can't see reviews. You don't
think they'll do a web app store? This game.
That would be interesting.
You can't engage in a
that would be very interesting.
Playing the same game. It turns out it's actually much easier on a mobile phone to go find a chess game, whereas it is very, very hard to do the same on the web. So that's one problem.
Is it really?
The second problem is, as developers, when you write these applications,
are you Googling chess game?
Yeah, there's lots of them. Free chess games, chessgames.com. Plan one now. Look at that.
The second thing developers care about is monetization. Today, advertising is the primary form to do this, and it works great in many, many cases. So advertising has been a very important form of monetization on the web. But we want to create other alternatives as well.
There you go.
For example, it should be easy to create and sell a premium application on the web. So these are the two problems we've been thinking hard about. And as part of that, we want to give you an early preview of a product, what we call the Chrome Web Store.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to introduce Can Liu, who's the product manager on the Chrome team, who's going to walk us through the Chrome Web Store.
Yeah, again, interesting. It's an early preview. Now that's a shot at Apple.
Tip of tree, Chromium 90 Definitely. Goes, so bear with us.
Or a riff on it.
What you're seeing...
It's an homage.
Yes, right.
So it's a very familiar...
And a traditional Google crap interface.
Icons which you've installed right on the new tab page. One caveat, though. These are web applications. You can find them on the web anywhere. But now you can conveniently add it onto your new tab page. So as you can see, there's Clicker.
Do I need this?
Talked about Clicker.com.
I don't even understand it.
I have it installed on my new tab page. Let's go ahead and try one application. Let's try TweetDeck.
All right, let's do it.
I'm sure many of you are using TweetDeck right now.
No, this is not Adobe Air version of it. This is the web-based
HTML5 version of their application as well.
HTML5, yeah.
And so what you're seeing is fully in the browser. It's really slick. You can drag and drop it. Let's go ahead and add a keyword for Google so that we can start watching the tweets come in. So...
So far, you could do all this right now. What's
API, he added it, but
tweets to you right
he's just
browser.
Showing how TweetDeck works.
They've also used the geolocation API, so you can click on it and see where all the tweets are coming from. So this is all done using HTML5 in the browser.
Okay, he's showing
Let's
off
go
HTML5.
Ahead and send a tweet, and we can send it to the Google I/O channel live from Google I/O. And so this is an application which I've conveniently installed in the new tab page. So let's go back there. One icon you will see.
I see. So when you create a new tab, instead of getting what we've gotten in the past, which is most visited sites, you can now see an application.
Gallery full of applications. And so you can go here, discover applications.
This is a store only in the sense of it's a directory.
It's a very nice bookmarking system.
Right. Although they do sell stuff.
I love that application.
Well, that's what I'm interested in. What do you get?
It costs $4.99. I can go ahead and buy it. We worked very hard to simplify the process. So once you set it up, it's normally one click to buy an application.
Oh, that's interesting.
Buy it.
Actually, this is an interesting ecosystem. So you've now installed that in effect
you can start using it right away.
Into Chrome.
Well, what did you buy? Did you buy access to the site?
Apparently, yeah.
Is games.
So the idea here is to encourage developers to do more HTML5 development as an app.
So let's try a couple. Plants and Zombies.
Uh-huh.
It is a very popular game on phones.
Oh.
Now have it in the Chrome Web Store. So you can click
as
on it.
As what? Flash?
Full immersive, full screen experience.
It's probably an
right
offline
browser,
HTML5.
The way most people want to play games. And
but yeah,
this is built on Flash.
Okay.
And
Flash. So
applications in the Chrome Web Store can be built on...
So you could currently buy this from PopCap and install it as a standalone desktop application.
Right.
So the goal of this game is to knock zombies out.
And so now you're buying it as a...
This guy has played this game, by the way. he's doing exactly what you're supposed to do.
I was going to the side.
Yeah, get sun,
but he probably didn't have garlic.
He didn't have garlic. Oh, you like the garlic set technique.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just learned
that technique.
We were wondering what game to show this audience, and we figured as long as it has 3D,
no, this is interesting.
Legos, and Star Wars.
This is very interesting.
So we worked with
and so if I want to launch that app, do I have to have access to the internet?
Yes.
Do I,
you have to have Chrome.
And I have to have Chrome launched.
We are showing it using their
might not need access to the internet. Those might be able to work offline.
That's true.
You definitely have to run
Chrome. You have to run it in Chrome.
Open source technology.
So this
not
is
Chrome
also,
OS,
this, and that's interesting because this supports Chrome OS in a sense because now you can add apps to Chrome OS without having anything more than Chrome.
But now you can use something like Native Client to run them directly in the browser.
But what's the advantage to doing it this way?
The purpose of this game,
instead of just
advantage Google. You're right.
Yeah, for me as a user though, if I have the app, I'd rather have the app on my desktop.
Yeah, effectively, you're putting everything in Chrome.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that.
Pat wants to know more about the garlic strategy. We'll talk about that in our Plants vs. Zombies breaking news episode.
On top of Native Client to get it working in Chrome. So these are rich, immersive 3D gaming experiences, which will be coming to the browser as well.
Now, no wonder Adobe likes this. This is all about Flash. And in effect, you can't develop Flash apps for the Mac, but you sure as hell can do it for Google stuff.
Another important class of applications.
It's great for Google.
It's a new axis of not evil.
It's true. It's the axis of not evil.
So So how do you create that same experience on the web? This is an important problem.
Is that Unity? That's something different?
Magazine publishers to help create these experiences, to show what you can do.
So Steam, that's true. It is kind of like Steam, as
Terry McDonald,
Green's pointing out.
Who's the editor is it? Of Sports Illustrated.
If it's offline Hanukkah. Access, then sure. Yeah, I guess it is.
Sports Illustrated. Now, this is another area where Apple has been dominant, is in the content, folks. Wait a minute. He's not using an overhead projector. Oh, my God.
He's from Sports Illustrated.
Where did he find that?
Fine with me.
He got it from the office.
The Google AV?
He brought it in.
Standing is a very good thing. The
oh, my God. He's using an overhead projector. I hope he uses a grease pencil. He does look like my old gym teacher.
Extremely lucrative.
Oh.
Started from a very simple idea.
This is, and Gina points out, this is prep for an Android tablet.
And now,
in fact, what is that on the overhead? It looks like a tablet.
In my company,
it's got power. It's got VGA out.
Yeah. Every single one of the iconic Let me expose it. I'm talking about people, fortune.
That looks like he's got a little tablet or something. Now that must be part of it. That's the projector. That's all part of the projector.
The reason for this.
It's a document camera.
Is
That's
that
right.
Empowered engineers and developers, like all of you in this room, are in turn empowering and helping me as an editor to create new versions of Sports Illustrated. That's why I'm here.
Okay.
I'm going to start.
Mick points out the guy's only 3 years older than me.
But
he looks older, doesn't he?
Sort of he looks well. He looks fine.
No ageism.
Looks nervous, is what he looks.
Yeah, he looks very nervous. So this is really a shot at Apple, because Apple's iPad is all about, from the point of view of these publishers, is all about saving the magazine, saving the newspaper. So Google's saying, well, what if you could do it in rich web applications, and we have a way to pay, and it works on everything? This is Google's tagline is runs everywhere. That's what they're talking about with the books, with Google Editions. You've got a browser, it'll run.
Five prototype that will hopefully show some of the possibilities of bringing an enriched magazine.
Do I have to use Chrome to make use of that app store?
And tablets.
Well, that's interesting.
That's
really, I would guess.
He's opening it.
Maybe not.
But if not.
It should, in theory, work in any WebKit.
Really very simple idea.
That's a good question.
Somehow pull together the best of the web, the best of the magazine. This came off press yesterday in Merced, our plant in Merced. To pull out
Merced, that's where my border collie Sawyer came from.
Most important things in
this
the
really is
the magazine
it's, it harkens back to an earlier day where they care what it was printed.
Kind of does.
Very deep.
It's beautiful, though.
We've got the great reprographic printers out there in Merced.
And all the rest of it, of course. What I'm talking about here is a tightly edited, curated, free, open, social, searchable.
He doesn't know what any of those words
mean. No. Somebody said, say social.
Customize for yourself by rearranging it. It's also, of course, going to have live video feeds. Live news, live scores, like we have here. All of this built on a foundation of strong journalism and informed opinion about the stories of the moment, like...
Unlike those bloggers.
Yeah.
And additional content that, in fact, will pull you in further, that will allow you to participate in this sports world. This is a poll that we're doing live right now about how to build a baseball franchise. It's not necessarily good news for the Giants. This... is one of our sports columns. We have a number of these every week. This is, of course, boxing, which is enriched by...
So Steam supports Unity.
About what happened.
There's a Unity plugin for browsers.
In the background.
Of course, Unity works on the iPhone.
You don't want to mess with Floyd.
I just believe in my skills and I believe in my talent.
And presumably all of these would work on an iPhone or an iPad because they're HTML5.
Well, that's a good question,
but they won't. You can't save them. You can't get offline access.
So how deep is Google's commitment to open go? Are they going to be so open that it'll run everywhere, truly everywhere?
Of course, you might want to not watch this now. I want to save it for later, which you can do here. But most important, I think, is to always know where you are in this magazine so you can find what you want and go directly to it. For example, here's a piece on the end of the road for Shaq.
That's a great photo.
Kind of a bad call. The typography
none
here.
None of the sports jokes are going
very,
over.
Very, very important.
You're talking to geeks. They don't really get out much. He thought he'd get a cheer for the Giants comment.
Yeah, he didn't get nothing.
Nothing.
Like the formula
going,
fonts that we're so used to online.
I'm from Norway. What are you talking about?
And say, here's a strong portrait of Shaq.
I know my picture's missing from
we
the wave.
Deliver for you.
I have no idea.
Of this photo
I saw you putting one in. I know.
I tried to put it in, and it just... It was there.
The idea also that you need to go deeper is very important because you might want additional stories about Shaq and his future. There they are. You might want to go wider. You might want to go into the NBA to see about LeBron. Or you might want to just see pictures of the last time they played together to see what that was like. And finally,
you probably want to share any posts
and or
all
wave. Of this with your friends or whoever.
Holy cow.
You have a number of choices there. And as you're running through this, you can always keep up with what other NBA fans are thinking and saying about the league on Google Buzz. All this stuff.
Google Buzz. Look at that.
For the user.
No Twitter?
I think
come on.
Has to work very hard, too. No more not at image this messaging, really. What we need is stuff that is actually useful. So this advertising, I submit to you, can become so useful that it becomes content in and of itself. This is a new idea.
So the advertisers always like to say,
or it's not
and occasionally, it's one time out of 100, they're right.
Deliver it. You can, but as you see here, you can change the lens and see what that's like, and then, of course, you want to buy it, so we can show you where to buy it.
So if I can make this work in Safari on an iPad, then this is what the magazines will all do.
Why not? Yeah.
Because
and in fact,
I mean, I guess I could make more money selling an app there. Well, but now with that app store,
you want universal,
but you can't sell that app.
You want it everywhere
to the iPad.
You want it everywhere.
So you want it everywhere, right?
And the real question is, what's Apple's reaction going to be? You remember that Steve Jobs, in his conversation with Ryan Tate of Gawker, Ryan Tate pointed out that Wired felt like they had to write a special app for the iPad, and Steve says, well, nobody's forcing them to.
You can, yeah, because...
Well, what if nobody really is forcing them to?
Yeah, what if they don't need to anymore?
Yeah.
It is that. Some of that was a little bit different, but it was live, but this is something that that we're very, very excited about coming forward with. And the reason for that is that in
I think the music
fall
was playing
of last
you off,
year,
dude.
Not long after SI released a video demo of what an enriched magazine might look like on a tablet, I found myself in a very small conference room in Mountain View. And
that's because you're a big guy.
That's scary.
I was at the beginning of a veritable storm of innovation that might not be so new in Mountain View, but that was going to allow the journalism that I want and that my company Timing stands for to flourish and to completely reimagine, remake the business model to support it.
Once again.
So I'm thinking about, you know, that quote in the sports movie Field of Dreams where he says, if you build it, they will come.
Oh, yes.
I would add an addendum to that. It has to be built open.
Open.
Has to be well edited. Has to be searchable. Has to be social. And it has to be everywhere. And if we do that, we can charge for it. It's great to be with you.
You're watching a special live coverage of the Google I.O. keynote brought to you by our friends at Slingbox. Use Slingbox to watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home. Now available at Best Buy. To learn more, find an in-store demo near you. Visit slingbox.com. Thank you, Slingbox. for making this possible. Tom Merritt and Leo Laporte here in the Twit Cottage, and we're watching along with you the Google I.O. keynote.
In the browser using HTML5, and we really hope you and everyone watching this will showcase applications like what we just saw. So what does it mean to build on the Chrome Web Store? It means that you can reach over 70 million users. These are primary users of Chrome as of today.
Which, and I could reach more users by just making a website.
We talked about Chrome OS. We said we had 30 million users.
But you don't get the store. Now, here's a real question. Do you have to use Chrome?
Yeah. So these people will.
Kevin Marks says if it's HTML done right, it will. But
and discover,
that's the question.
Add both free and paid applications. So it's also important to remember that this web store will also be there in Chrome OS as well. So the Chrome Web Store will work on Chrome on Windows, Mac, Linux, and Chrome OS.
Requires Chrome.
It'll support both free and paid applications. It'll work in over 40 languages and over 70 countries. We will be bringing this in the Chrome Dev Channel soon, and we'll have a whole session at I.O. to talk more about this. One thing I want to add is we support standard web technologies, and so applications written for Chrome Web Store will also continue to work on every other modern browser out there. So it's been really exciting to talk about HTML5.
So we've that's always believed a little fuzzy. Obviously,
how do you get them over there?
Yeah, the store will work only on Chrome, but what happens?
Yeah.
But the apps, maybe Kevin's saying progressive enhancement, graceful degradation.
Uh-huh.
So maybe you don't get the full features unless you use Chrome and you buy it.
Or you can't manage the apps from your browser, but if you can access them from Firefox, they'll work. On HTML5. They are doing the...
Here comes the wave. And Lars, the Rasmussens.
Good morning, everyone.
He's back. My.
We're going to have a long keynote, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we are.
Starting to grow up as well. It's been
that was the first topic, that hour
HTML5, now wave.
Yeah.
Communication and collaboration could work
Gina's excited.
On the web. We showed you right here on the stage here with an 80-minute demo last year.
Yes, that's right.
Google Wave is a product that people are starting to use to get real work done all over the world. And we're going to show you that today. With a 90-minute demo, I'm just kidding. We're not
Mars.
What we're going to do is this. We're going to open up Wave to everyone today. So you no longer need an invitation to use Wave. Just go to wave.google.com and log right in. Thank you.
All right. We mentioned that earlier, but that's so big. People can start really using it, because that's been one of the breaks on it, is if you want to use it with somebody who didn't have an invite.
Services start their life. Maps, my last project, started there 5 years ago. Wave has been in an invitation-only preview for half a year. We've gotten tons of great feedback. Thanks so much for that. And more than anything, we've learned that Wave really shines as a place to get work done. In particular, if you have a group or a team of people that use Wave to collaborate on all manners of projects. And I think we hear a lot, and this actually matches our own experience, is that Wave changes the way you work, sometimes in subtle and unexpected ways. And we hear this in many different contexts. Of course, lots of programmers use Wave to coordinate their work. But we hear things like a fifth grade teacher has her students do all the research in Wave, and the kids love the live typing. It feels like you're talking to the other participants on the Wave, and the teacher loves it because she can see in real time what they're doing and jump right in and provide guidance. Brick and mortar businesses, like this hotel here, they use Wave exclusively to track and discuss all of their tasks during a day. They tell us how Wave stops issues from falling through the cracks and helps keep everyone on the same page every day. Deloitte is a good example.
I wonder if Wave is going to end up being Google's mini disk. You know, Sony just never gave up on mini disk for years and years and years, despite the fact that the market just yawned. And with all due respect,
Buzz may be that.
Buzz may be that too. But with all due respect to Gina, people don't seem to be jumping on the Wave bandwagon.
Well, this is the key. This is the key right here, is opening it up. Because
this will be the
test,
won't it?
A lot of people are like,
yeah,
I'd like to use that, but I can't. And that stopped a lot of uses from happening. So.
I have observed that when people try Wave, they go, huh? And they stop using it.
Uh-huh.
And I include myself in that.
Of course, Twitter is that way, too.
Maybe.
Wave already, in particular early on during the preview, and you found it wasn't quite ready to get work done. Now was a good time to come back and give it a second try.
See, this is going to be the pitch. Come back.
Yeah, he's acknowledging.
Come back, please. Come back.
And we put a lot of work into these basic usability things, like you can now get email notifications when your Wave change. We've made it easier to navigate the unread pieces of a wave.
A lot of the uses I tried to put it to were uses that are better served in a Google Docs situation or a docs.com Microsoft situation.
If you add them by mistake, all of those things, if you have a group or a team, you're working on a project together, try out Wave. I think you'll find it.
Troubled says he's tried to, went back to Wave to look at Gina's Wave. Gina and Adam Pash and Kevin Marks are live waving the I.O., and he says, I couldn't even find it. Well, and I think that's also getting used to Wave. You can find it. You just have to know how to use it. Devlin says, we've used Wave at university since we came into the beta at the beginning and love it for group things for 5 to 10 people. And I'd say that's the case.
We recently made it a lot easier to embed a Wave on your own website. We even made it possible for non-Wave users to see a public Wave that you embedded on your website. And today, we're checking
off... The Wave that you and Gina and Kevin and Adam are in as an example of that.
They should. Yeah. Live Wave.
A change that means that robots no longer have to live on Google App Engine. They can now live anywhere on the web, which makes it a lot easier to integrate Wave with your own application. We're also launching a new Wave Data API designed to let you build things like notifiers, but also lightweight clients, in particular for mobile devices. We're adding media and attachment features to both our robot and gadget APIs so that you can integrate with places like Picasa or Flickr and so on, and you can build inline viewers for media types.
They've needed this for some time. That's huge.
We're also adding a bunch more hooks for your extensions to integrate into our client.
Prezi would be great in Wave.
If you want to see some of the cool things people have already built, join us out on the floor in a developer sandbox. For example, Salesforce.com is with us today showing how they're embedding Waves into their new product, Chatter. Now, also, we've always wanted Wave to be an open technology so that anyone should be able to build their own Wave service and have it interoperate in real time.
That was one of the promises, is that you wouldn't have to use it from Google.
Late last year when Novell announced that their new product Pulse is going to support the Wave Federation protocol. And today, SAP is announcing that their new product Streamwork will also support the Wave Federation protocol. Both companies are with us today. I'm on the floor and at a session later where we'll show demos of how our different Wave services are starting to be able to talk to each other in real time. And to make this sort of thing easier for others to build their own Wave systems, we are today open sourcing additional components of our production code, in particular the in-browser editor, which is one of the hardest pieces to write. We're also publishing... thank you.
He's talking to developers, don't forget.
Also,
they like that better than the Giants reference.
Another top requested feature. We're publishing
Shaquille, they don't know.
Well, they might know. They just don't care.
You guys will be able to build any Wave client you want and put it on top of any...
It's also an international audience.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Which, of course, will include Google Wave. Now, just to end off, I want to remind you that we're using Wave at this conference here. There's a couple of Waves allocated for each session. You can use them to ask questions of the presenter. Someone will take live notes and you can discuss the session in there. I really hope to see you later, either out on the floor at one of the many sessions.
Wave's real problem was it was presented as an alternative to Gmail or to email, and it isn't. It really isn't. It's a group. I don't think ever. I think it's a
maybe
group.
Maybe ever.
It's a groupware product. Yeah, it's for working together in groups. I could see you working on using it to prepare, for instance, your new show, Tech News Today, on Twitter, that kind of thing.
Possibly, although when I've played around with prepping shows in it, it just gets confusing.
Exactly, because it's not linear.
Yeah, it's a threaded conversation instead of a document. So and the other thing about Wave, you can't see it on mobile.
Look at that, Web Kevin Workers Marks HTML5. I love it. Yeah, Kevin Marks is saying you can't get it there in Droid.
Standards are leading to innovation in the consumer web with the help of people like Terry.
What a knockoff Sharks
Kevin
jersey!
And
it looks like the Sharks, except it says Web Workers and HTML and number 5.
More choice, which has always led to more innovation. Lars showed you how that's true with Google Wave, and he showed you how Google Wave is now heading off to work. Well, I'm going to spend the next 45 minutes showing you more about how is the web making work better.
45
what are the things
minutes.
That we can do to help the web transform what we all do at work?
At least he warned us.
What our customers do at work, what our partners do
no,
at
there's
work.
There's no way.
It's supposed to be over in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
The web is already transforming the way we work.
Hopefully that was a failed joke. But I don't think it was.
Collaborating on a presentation or on a design document by mailing around versions of content back and forth between people and saying, who's got the latest one, who's got what edit? And I can't imagine being tethered to one particular physical device to find my data and my applications. That would make no sense anymore.
Like Wave?
You know that. I know that. We all know that. Companies know that. Every company we talk to is trying to figure out how can I...
I would like to see something from the Buzz team here, but I suspect it's just not an important enough product for them to... You know, if you don't see the Gmail team, you're not going to see the Buzz team.
It's still a hobby.
It's still hard to do that. It's still too hard to take advantage of the web at work. It's hard for a few reasons. First, it's hard because it takes too long. From the time you have a great idea...
And this is that's the difference between really what we want to see and what this audience wants to see. This is an audience of developers, and Google's mission really is to get them developing in HTML5, and that's what you're seeing right now. And that's not really what the general public's interested in. We're interested in Google products. I'd love to see Google Docs, love to see Gmail and Buzz and see those people talking.
Yeah.
You're watching live coverage of the Google I.O. keynote in San Francisco. It's live right now on the YouTube channel. Google has a YouTube channel, youtube.com/Google Developers. You could watch it directly there if you want to see it without interruption. But Tom and I are providing the gloss. Tom Merritt's first official duties as our newest TWIT employee. Yeah, he's actually technically on vacation. It starts June 1st.
Still unseen at
thanks
time.
Thanks for coming out and joining us on your vacation.
This was fun, though.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
I love doing this.
We're going to Tom is going to be starting June 1st with his new show, Tech News Today, TNT. I believe we'll be doing it live in the 2:30 time frame. That's our current plan on our schedule, 2:30 p.m. Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. That's 2230 UTC, and we'll, of course, put it out as a video and audio podcast immediately after he concludes.
I've been playing around on Ustream every afternoon at 2:30 to kind of test the news cycle.
How's that feel?
It feels okay.
Is it too early, too late?
So far, so good. I was worried that there wouldn't be enough stuff by the between the morning and the and the afternoon, but there is.
Good.
So far, working pretty well.
Okay. We can move it.
I think the only issue with 2:30 might be for the East Coasters who want to listen to it on the way home. It won't get out for download fast enough. But you can listen in your car.
Well, we're open to input on that. Yeah, and really, we want to kind of move our audience towards listening to in real time as opposed to listening to download. We want to 2:30 Pacific
for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. So you could listen if you have an iPhone or an Android phone. We do stream to almost all portable devices, so you could listen that way. We have a live audio stream that almost anything will play. It's an Icecast stream of all our programming.
That's twit.am, is that?
Twit.am, yeah. So really, that's the question, and we'd love to hear input from you, especially you former Buzz Out Louders who have come over.
Well, there's been a ton of them tuning into my Ustream chat.
Have there? Oh, that's great.
Giving me feedback, because it's been really informal. I'm like, these are the kinds of stories I might talk about. What do you guys think? And they've been great.
Good.
Big thanks to them.
What is your Ustream channel?
I don't even know. I don't know what the...
Look, search for Tom
on
Ustream.
Just look for me on Twitter. I will Twitter it out at twitter.com/acedetect.
Yeah. Now they're talking. This is really enterprise focused. Now he's talking about Google and VMware
to tell you a little bit about what we've been doing together.
Yeah, this is now we've gone way enterprise. Alma Ritz of VMware.
I do love my VMware.
Good morning. It's a great pleasure to be with you here today.
Oh my!
Most of you will know VMware in terms of the work that we've been doing in. Allowing existing applications to be iterated forward and take advantage of a cloud-oriented way of doing computing. Customers have...
We actually are working on an enterprise show for you, believe it or not. No, Tom won't have to host it. To his great relief.
See the fear in my eyes.
Neither Tom nor I will host it. We actually have real enterprise people.
That's the key with that show. I'm totally consumer, and you need somebody who really is in that world.
Your Ustream, according to SPO, your Ustream URL is ustream.tv/user/acedetect.
Well, that'll get you to I have like
that's not where you're doing
shows. I was trying to remember the actual show URL. I think it's Open Camera.
Okay.
After that, so but that's the right place to go. Sure.
And actually allow them to start extending.
We'll be launching three shows in the next month. One is Tom's show, Tech News Today, TNT. We like that acronym because it's dynamite,
explosive.
It's explosive. We'll also be launching a iPad show Sarah Lane and I will host that, although you're welcome to be part of that.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be a three-way.
I won't feel left out.
No, yeah, no, because I know you're now an iPad fanatic.
Yeah, I've got it in my bag.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And we're also doing a Green Tech show. We'd like to have you involved with that as well, if you'd like. And that's all three of those are going to launch in the next 30 days. So
I'll be the skeptic on the Green Tech.
That's good. That's good. You could be the anti-editor. That's fine, yeah.
My role.
Yeah.
Can we license AC/DC's TNT for the... Do we have the budget for that?
I'll ask. I don't know. Maybe. God, how much would it cost? How much could it cost?
Yeah. It could cost quite a bit, actually.
We actually have a good theme
that
Dan Luters did.
Dan did. It's good.
I can debut it if you want. I think I have it.
Oh, yeah. Let's play it. I was going to play it on the Ustream one of these days, but yeah.
If I can find the Dropio.
What is Mr. VMware here?
The last several years have by and large voted.
You could tell Tom and I both have lost interest.
Traditionally, and now work within.
Well, he's not showing anything. So
that give them much higher levels of productivity.
It's
and that's the reason.
This is why we don't do an enterprise show right here.
Acquired what we think is one of the best of breed new generation frameworks, the Spring Framework.
Thank God.
Okay, so this is talking about that level.
Thank God they acquired the Spring.
2002 by Rod Johnson and others who founded Spring, who'd been working in the Java world.
This is like cloud services stuff. Nothing that affects my VMware fusion.
I would like to hear this Google S3 announcement if they're going to make it. Now, this seems like,
Spring Framework,
at this point, they've really expected all the developers to leave the room except for...
Very simple, lightweight, but extremely powerful object model. With the result is that more than half of the lines of new Java code being written today are written in the context of the Spring Framework. They started that effort based on open source, and they have continued in the open and open source tradition, and we're committed to continuing that.
Tom and I have dozed off. I'm sorry.
Last year, we started in-depth conversations with Google and said, wouldn't it be great to give the world's largest body of developers, the Java community, a way of writing really efficient, great cloud-based applications? And as a result, we're
this is
Google
interesting stuff. There's some folks in the chat room. What are you talking about? This is great. I'm a consumer.
I'll leave it turned up for you.
Portable applications.
Enjoy.
With what Google has developed around.
We have nothing to say.
A perfect marriage is to bring these two technologies together and give the industry an open source layer to cloak the clouds, to allow you to get the fullest benefit from your investments. The one thing I've learned over the years is the more choice you give developers, the more promise you give to developers that they're going to be able to get a return on their investment by having the widest possible number of places that they can deploy this technology, the greater the motivation, the greater the applications that result. So we have had our two teams working together to really integrate the Spring Framework and the Google Web Toolkit. And now I'll give a complete answer as to how to write an end-to-end application, the back end and the front end, in a way that you can deliver really great, exciting apps that work across clouds.
Oh, whoops, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to show that.
With a deep commitment to doing this in an open source fashion.
That's a good point. I actually
have you checked your farm lately?
Cauliflower.
Yeah, you got to check your cauliflower.
My Wii rule. Results of this work.
Once you get that cauliflower, man, it's just the whole world changes.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Paul. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there. Go ahead.
So Gina's suspecting that Android would be the one more thing.
Thank you, Paul. Been very excited to work with Paul. Been even more excited to have our engineers and Paul's engineers working together to deliver on exactly what he said.
What he said, whatever that was.
How we can use familiar tools to enable fast development. And the way we've done that is...
From what I gleaned of what he was
exactly
saying,
as Paul said,
this could have been the place where they would announce the cloud storage. So
let Java developers build great back-ends to their apps with the Google Web Toolkit front-end.
So you get
the power of HTML5 in a complete Java stack, back-end and front-end, integrated together. And to show you how that works, I'd like to bring up Ben Alex, who's the lead engineer for Spring Roo, and Bruce Johnson, who's the lead of the Google Web Toolkit team.
And I'll just reiterate what I said earlier, that this is a developers conference, and unlike Apple, when Steve talks to WWDC, Google's clearly talking to developers here more than they're talking to the general populace. But we did get some big announcements. If you're just tuning in, Google did announce that they're going to completely open the VP8 codec that they acquired from Onto Technology earlier this year. They're going to call it WebM, and they have announced support from a lot of the big players, including NVIDIA, Qualcomm, ATI. They've been promoting HTML5 heavily and announced a Chrome web app store, which is a very intriguing development where they'll be able to sell, or people will be able to sell things like games and applications.
Will they even buy them?
Will people buy them?
Well, yeah. But we'll need to learn a little more how it works.
I don't think anybody's going to sell stuff exclusively in the Chrome web app store. Really, you are working on your farm, aren't you? Harvest that cauliflower. That's really important there.
That's the sort of code that you don't really want
to talk.
Right?
Let's talk more about Gwt and Roo.
With VMware, we said, hey, you know, this. What about this? And they said, you know, we have a tool that does exactly this. It saves you a whole bunch of time writing the code.
But we haven't heard anything about TV.
No, there's a lot missing. Google TV, we thought we'd hear
about Android yet.
We thought we'd hear about S3 competitor. And really, the big story has got to be Froyo 2.2, what's new in Android. They did hand out, don't forget, they handed out Android phones to everybody attending. Droids to the locals, and Nexus Ones to the internationals.
And Google Wave not requiring an invite anymore.
Yeah.
And what was it, SAP and... Who was the other one that are going to start using Google Wave, providing Google Wave servers to their clients?
I think it was Novell was the other Novell? The other one. Yeah.
Log expense report. So we thought let's build an
important
enterprise application that will store expense.
But not on the order. The order. I mean, if you're talking about impact to people,
yeah,
Android is the hugest, and nothing about Chrome OS. Again, another surprise.
Yeah. So far, the open sourcing of VP8 is.
So I have here an
That's the big story, and that was one we frankly all expected. Yeah. I think the web app store is very intriguing. I think that could potentially be huge.
I feel that way, a way I first felt about instant messaging, and the way I also felt about camera phones, which is I don't see any use for this. Why would anyone ever do it?
And
I was wrong, totally wrong in both cases. And so I'm probably wrong about this, too.
The chat room is pointing out that there is another keynote tomorrow. This is the big one, though, as far as I know.
Yeah, this is the one that they made the most noise about.
We can do breaking news again tomorrow. We do thank, by the way, our friends at Slingbox. They're a new advertiser on the network. I've been trying to get them on for a long time because I've been using Slingbox for years. They have a great iPhone app. The Android app is coming. I have to remember what I can say about that. And an iPad app, I think it's safe to say, is coming. But if you have a TV at home and you'd like to watch that cable or the DVD or the DVR anywhere you can get online, Slingbox is a great choice. Now available at Best Buy. To learn more and to find an in-store demo near you, visit slingbox.com. And now back to Roo.
And now back to code.
And I think we'll take a Java date for that. Terrific. So now we've actually
terrific.
Got Java back taken care of. We could run this up if we wanted to.
What we're talking about really is a way that developers can write in Java and generate JavaScript, generate HTML-compliant code.
Now is Roo's going to have a look at our domain model.
Roo is, I think, a framework.
It looks at all of our columns.
Yeah, this looks a lot like Ruby on Rails.
You can run this up in the development mode just like you normally would if you're familiar with GWT. To save a little bit of time, I've done that for you already. And this is
yeah, that's a big story. Penn Jillette's going to start doing a show at Revision 3.
Revision
I thought that
3,
was
yeah.
a big surprise.
Didn't know anything about
that. Promised.
Hey, look, there. I got Slingbox running on my my iPad.
This is Where'd you get the Sling Player?
This is the iPhone app.
Oh, you're running the iPhone app on the iPad. Well, that works fine, though.
It doesn't look,
but something that occurs to me is... I
am told, one of the nice things about the iPad app, the iPhone app, is it does work on 3G, which was a huge step forward. And I'm told that they've got an iPad app in the development stage. There's Mythbusters, Adam Savage.
Mythbusters action going on.
That's great.
So in order to add
meanwhile, let's see what's going on in Roo land.
Java fashion, string comment, and I haven't saved yet, but when I click the save button...
Is that Eclipse? What is that, what is that IDE? Oh, it's Linux.
So what's happened is Roo's automatically...
It's running Ubuntu, Lucid Linux, I should say.
Lucid Linux.
I love Lucid Linux.
I need to install that. Actually.
I was surprised. Colleen tweeted yesterday. She's the fastest and best OS she's using BOS, and I would agree with her.
Yeah.
I would agree with her. I'm very happy with Lucid Links, and this new social interface they have, where they combine mail and Twitter and Facebook, and I mean they're using a Gwibber, which is a great Segfault's great. Universal social client.
We've gone from an empty directory, we've typed less than 200 characters, and we've ended up with a GWT front end scaffolded for us with full round tripping capability. So this is a great way of saving time as you're building new GWT applications. At this point, I'm going to hand you back to Bruce, who's going to cover some of the other integrations.
He's talking fast.
Yeah.
Are they finally getting
He's rushed? Getting their wrap.
Are they finally realizing that they're 5 minutes away from their stated end time?
So 200 keystrokes later, we have the basics.
It looks to me like very much like Rails for GWT.
We saw STS, the IDE experience. We've also integrated Google plugin for Eclipse and GWT and Apigen SDKs right there in STS so that you have all the tools you need right there at your fingertips. So we use that environment to continue iterating on the app using GWT and Rue to continue to add new features and so on. And after
the point of all this, ultimately what you get is an HTML5 compliant app. And that's the key, is that you're using these very powerful frameworks and development tools and Java to ultimately output JavaScript and HTML5.
So let me point out a couple.
So you can iterate in the same way you do with Ruby on Rails, but in HTML5.
How fast it starts. Ready, 1, 2, 3, refresh. Refresh, refresh, refresh. That's drawing the UI, and that's getting the data, and it's up and running. That's about 500 milliseconds. Not bad. It's part of the reason for that, by the way, is that the app is only 100K. It's optimized JavaScript, as I mentioned, and that includes even the CSS and the images.
I wouldn't dream these days of writing native JavaScript for anything significant. And GWT is a good alternative if you use Java and you like Java.
Sort of stuttery Web 1.0 click and wait kind of feel. So, for example, when I want to drill down on one of these expense reports, I don't have
now,
to.
Now, how does this differ from
this and you'll see
the idea of writing once and then cross coding to
this is cross platform. This is completely cross platform, but it runs in the browser.
Code does it?
Well, that's an interesting point. It does output native code ultimately.
Yeah.
So it's a tool. It's a tool to output native HTML5. That's a very good point. It's just a programming tool.
Spit out a lot of HTML with data intermingled because you're not sure what the user might want to see. But when I have an interactive application, I know what the user wants. So, for example, if I want to see the number of people in the engineering department, I'll click on this triangle, and right when I click, it will fetch exactly the data that I need to answer that one user action. Click, and that actually did a network round trip, found two employees, populated the UI, and showed them. And we think that's fantastic. It really speeds up the app and makes it feel more responsive to what you're actually doing. Now, if you've been using GWT for a while, and we hope you have, probably nothing I'm saying here, aside from Rue, is actually new to you. You know that you can build these sort of rich web applications.
Then why are you saying
pretty easily. What is still a problem, though, once you get your app up and working, is how do you make sure that it performs well? Some of these apps get really large, and there can be bottlenecks inside the browser that are hard to diagnose. So to address this, we created a tool called Speed Tracer. We launched Speed Tracer in December as part of GWT 2.0. And I'll turn on Speed Tracer here. It's a Chrome extension. I'll continue to use the app. And Speed Tracer is in the background, paying attention to what I'm doing and recording information. So here, I will pause it. I'm going to zoom out. You see this is a nice HTML5 WYSI UI, all built in GWT, of course. I look at the sluggishness graph. I see a peak. That's an area that I could optimize if I want to. I'll drill down, and Speed Tracer shows me this bar, which has a lot of stuff
even
going on.
Even Gina, who's a developer, is not really
where time is going.
Getting into this.
So I see that a lot of the time is script evaluation, but it's also parsing HTML, recalculating styles due to CSS.
And she even says some eye glazing is going on in the audience.
Like wow.
Garbage collection.
Basically, you'd think not, but I think probably developers have decided what tools they're going to use. This is kind of a hard sell on something that they may not be particularly interested in.
The guy said it himself. If you're familiar with this tool, you already know all the stuff I'm saying.
Yeah, and if you're not, then you've chosen something else.
This is classic bad use of PowerPoint.
Yeah. Well, Google wants people to use GWT.
It's a tool that's sort of like Speed Tracer, but for the server.
So this is really a pitch to stop using whatever you're using and start using the Google tool.
And Spring Insight tells you on a request-by-request basis the timings of various actions.
And Art of NSFW.
Hey, that's cool.
In this app, I was gathering Spring
That's pretty cool.
Data.
I like that. I love the Colleen.
There was an HTTP post that did a JDBC select, and I can
NSFW fan art.
Even more details.
It's in the bacon
list. So
if
you think it would be neat to combine that information with SpeedTracer.
My email worked, I would. Apple Mail seems to have just blanked out on me. It doesn't. No longer. You no longer have any messages, Leo.
A pretty traditional looking network view like you might have seen in Firefox or WebKit Inspector. Except now I have these nifty icons here that say, hey, for this request, I have data about timings on the server side as well. And so when I expand this out,
this is one of the chief advantages to GWT, of course, is all of the instrumentation.
And I can see that there's an ADC select call that happened on the server. So what we've done then is combine.
Yeah, I thought it was Eclipse Lone Frog, but I couldn't quite see the icon.
All into one view inside SpeedTracer. It helps you drill down and find out any source of latency whatsoever. So Spring Insight comes with the developer edition of TC Server. It's part of Spring Source Tools. And that's great for tuning performance at your desktop. At some point, you feel like it's good enough. It's time to deploy, right? If you've used Google plugin for Eclipse, you know that deploying is really just essentially one button click. There's an App Engine icon there inside Eclipse. You click that icon.
Fail whale.
Goes to App Engine and continues running.
Everybody's tweeting the I.O. announcement.
So
not.
We clicked that button. And so now we have the same application running on
They're all App twittering, Engine. I'm bored at the I.O. announcement.
I don't think they're even, they're all twittering Justin Bieber.
Slow. So this is the same application.
He's on
same
American
code,
Idol tonight.
Yeah. Twitter has really become
We've added some additional data
the world.
To make it
the
more
world.
Realistic.
Yeah. It's not the province.
It's very much
anymore.
Changed, yeah.
But if you've ever done any sort of real
Well, actually, look at the trends,
you know
though. No, Google
what,
I.O.
The way it
Keynote,
works on your desk is not VP8, the way it's going to work in
Chrome Web Store.
Right?
Hey, you know what? I think they are live tweeting it.
Talking about,
the trends are
even on
LeadWise, oil spill.
Well, it turns out App Engine.
Oh, you're not looking at the. I'm looking
exactly
at San Francisco.
Like
I'm looking at U.S.
2 months ago, it's called.
Let me look although Google I.O. is trending U.S. wide,
even U.S.
You realize that. Wow, if you could get that data,
but
pull that. But
LeadWise, the ugly friend.
Then you could always do
Rand Paul, Dead Redemption.
Dead Redemption.
I want to play Red Dead Redemption.
I played it a little bit yesterday. I didn't play online yet, though. All my friends played online, but I couldn't because we were watching TV.
I just love it that it's a Western. I think that's great.
Oh, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks really beautiful.
It's really fun. Yeah. And it's apparently better on the Xbox. I'm playing it on the PS3, and it's gorgeous.
Really? It's better on the Xbox?
Well, that's what Ars Technica says.
See, I have both, so I have to decide every time a game comes out, I'll get the Xbox version.
They said it's not that different, but they said it is a little prettier on the Xbox.
You'd think it'd be the other way around.
You would, yeah.
People have a hard time developing for the
PS3. I tell you,
PS3.
It was pretty enough on the PS3. I didn't mind.
I have a PS3 on my 50-inch plasma, so I generally prefer to put it there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're watching live coverage of something that's just really not that interesting. It's the Google I.O.
Not right
keynote,
at the moment.
Not
no.
at the moment. We're waiting for the one more thing. We think there might be one.
These are all tools, right? We've been talking about the
Tom Merritt in his first official duties at Twit. Welcome. It's good to have you.
Good to be here.
Refugee from CNET. His live Tech News show will begin on June 1st. And it will be called Tech News Today. And as soon as my email comes back, I'll play you the theme, TNT. We're thinking right now, although we'd love your input, that we'll do it at 2:30 Pacific.
It just fits into the schedule really nicely.
Well, that's what we got a hole there. And we want to, Tom is going to kind of, I'm going to take the morning, you know, the 11 to 2 shift. He's going to take the 2 to 5 shift, something like that. So we want to kind of do it that way. But we can move it. So if there's a better time for your life, let us know. But we're thinking 5:30 p.m. 5:30 p.m. Pacific, rather Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific. Oh, thank you. And Jammer B's giving me the fan art. I'll pull that up in a second.
So I said, well, you know, we know that these widgets have been designed to be lightweight, fast, small, and work with massive data sets. But
that's what she said.
Figure out a way to convince you that actually works that well. I said to the team, like, hey, let's do some ridiculous amount of data, like 18 million records, and show that everything still works fast. People, I was joking, but they really took me seriously.
I have to tell you, I'm joking.
I was joking. Really cool. Do you know who did this? NSFW fan art. That's beautiful. These are the hosts. There's Justin, and of course Brian. I don't know who the pipe smoker is. Buana, is that Buana? Or no, that's Odocta.
Yeah, I don't know who sent it. Somebody sent it to Brushwood.
And then, of course, Colleen in the lower right.
So now I want you to take a look at the widgets and think about how this app is performing, knowing that we're working against a database with, you know.
It's pretty clear they started with actual pictures.
So what sort of things do you want to do?
Yeah, maybe. Although that's a very anime OMG Chad.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that good? Love it.
And I'm paging through 5 million.
He's still on this.
Records, expense reports.
OMG Chat?
Try this yourself.
OMG Chat hat.
On a non-congested wireless, you'll find that it pages about as fast as you'd want it.
If you look at OMG Chad's hat.
Oh, he's wearing a Jane hat. I get it. That's mine? What's he wearing mine for? Oh, because he was here. He was wearing it here. I remember when he came in. What's with the rodent? Pedo bear.
See,
I got to watch.
That's
4chan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's being chased by pedo bear.
Can you tell we're a little bored? We're just a little bored. Yeah, you're watching live coverage of the Google I.O. keynote. Thanks to our friends at Slingbox for making this possible. Oh, thank God.
So that was what you were supposed to get excited about. Everybody needs to page through 5 million records, and when you do that...
I missed what we were supposed to get excited about.
We were paging through 5 million records. Quickly.
Impressive.
Done.
Impressive as hell.
Header and you want to sort quickly. Sort by date.
Oh, my God.
You know, I mean, we're talking about seconds, which seems like a long time in demos, but when you think about sorting 5 million records inside your own company...
Yeah. Tom Grazit over at CNET points out that the demo is running into problems as the Wi-Fi connection ground to a halt.
Right.
Which is probably because everyone was checking their Twitter.
And then Twitter ground to a halt.
Right now, they're all intermingled. I click on that, and I'm looking among the 5 million, the ones that are just in engineering, or maybe finance, or maybe marketing. Maybe I want to drill down to an individual person.
Now not only has the Wi-Fi died, but apparently the bandwidth to the Google I.O. keynote is flaky as well.
You saw before how quickly we can jump into the details of any person we pick among the 20 million line items, right?
Harrison's pointing out in our chat room, this is exactly the demo Microsoft did when Office 2010 came out. Actually, I think it was the demo they did in Office 2007. Look at all the rows.
In the current page, W/Z. So that keeps up with me. That's fantastic. And now I can press enter, and it will do an actual query that will give me back a result set that matches my search term. So I'm going to press enter, 1, 2,
just
three,
check the
enter.
The wave.
And now, among the 5 million expense reports, I'm getting the
Gina, Adam Pash,
search term,
Kevin Marks,
and
the wave.
To page through those at my leisure.
Yeah, if you're really interested in the developer part of this, then the YouTube stream at youtube.com/user/Google developers is unencumbered by our comments. This is the consumer
perspective.
We encourage
you to watch that.
Of it here.
Please
for sure.
Watch that. Kevin Mark says this is candy for the in-house developers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Spent a couple of days to create.
Although, you know, looking at the Google Wave that's going on, it's not really grabbing the audience there all that much either. It's vegetables. It's important stuff.
This is the vegetables. I like it. But the truth is, this probably isn't the place to put it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
We think that's pretty cool. And we're excited for you guys to try these tools yourself.
But is this the only place that they get these guys all in one room?
And maybe this is important enough to the developers that they do need to hear about it here.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Ben. If you want to learn more, there are sessions. You can find them on your Android app. You can find them in the schedule where you can listen to the sessions and talk to the engineers afterwards. What you just saw is not just a pretty cool app built on stage. What you also saw is the tools to let you build those kind of apps with that kind of performance.
Wanted to build
company,
an app on stage.
Needs,
I get
your,
that.
Your
that's kind of fun. That's dramatic sounding. But it's like installing Linux on TV.
Which we've done.
Which you've done.
Many times.
I'm happy to say that exact same widget library that Bruce just showed you, how it performs really well on a laptop at work, that same widget library is ready for mobile devices, makes it much easier to take one application and say, I want to access this data from all the devices I'm using, from tablets, from phones, which matches the real-world use needs of applications like this. So to show you how that works, I'm going to ask Ben to come back up, ask Bruce to come back up.
Would you like another cup of coffee, Tom?
I would love
it.
Yes.
John, please, more coffee. We brought Jammer. We brought John Slonina in. He's never had the plunger coffee. Why don't you make him a nice AeroPress?
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Not for me, though. I've had enough. Thank you. All the cool widgets against the thank you, John. John Slonina, who is, by the way, and also one of our newest staffers. John is now official on staff. I don't recommend the Safeway coffee. Why? Was it you that brought the Safeway coffee in? Who brought Safeway coffee in?
I'll have whatever's good.
Have the Cafe Verona. I think you'll find it's a mellow, rich roast.
Oh, I feel so as it spoiled. Turns out,
almost as exciting as widgets.
It'll be better than the machine coffee I'm used to.
Oh, yeah. One thing we can offer you, we can't give you as much money, as much excitement. The benefits aren't as good, but the coffee is much better here. So to show you CBS coffee.
On mobile devices, it's actually Filter Fresh, if you remember.
Filter Fresh. Yeah. They actually still use it. Wow. No, you'll notice I don't even have a brewed coffee machine here.
Yeah. Plunger, I like it.
The plunger you're gonna love.
French press, right?
It's kind of a mix. It's from Roby, the folks who make the Frisbee clone, and it's a plunger that has a filter, so it is both. iPad.
The same way that you would expect it to from what you saw previously.
Oh, they're taking the app they just wrote.
That's good. So that's encouraging.
More appropriate for the device, so finger dragging and things like that. But I can still page just the same way.
I really want to see support. I can't imagine why Apple wouldn't for WebM. The whole idea of WebM is it's plug-in free. If your browser can support it and get you the video without having to add a plug-in. And Mozilla will do that, and that's good news. But we want to see WebKit do it. Chrome and Mozilla will do it. I want to see Apple do it.
Why do you need to pick a side?
Well, because it's the issue of plugins. You could still have a Flash plug-in in Chrome.
Well, why not have the video tag support, just like the image tag can support JPEG, PNG, and GIF, why can't the video tag support H.264, Ogg, Theora?
Well, it can.
Yeah.
So why
are people picking a side?
Because, as an example, Mozilla has refused to say, we have a plug-in free solution because they don't want to do H.264 and apparently don't want to do Ogg Theora. That's VP3. It's a little bit less good. Mm-hmm. But that's the whole point is plug-in free. What is natively supported in the browser? IE says we're going to natively support H.264.
But you can natively support more than one image format. Why not more than one video format?
Well, you can't do it with Flash because you have to.
You can't do it with Flash because that's a container.
Right.
But why couldn't you say your video?
Absolutely. Absolutely, you could do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because you'd have to pay a license fee.
You have to pay the extra license fee. Okay.
I mean, you could, of course, do that.
Mm-hmm. So Apple, who's not going to have to pay a license fee for this because it's open sourced, ought to.
Absolutely.
Just throw it in there.
And the only reason they wouldn't is for the same reason they don't want to do Flash. They may see it as a competitive threat.
Right. That's a whole different conversation.
It really challenges. Do you like cream and sugar?
Black.
Really? Yeah. Okay. This is the WebM website, which is webmproject.org. This is the new VPA. Oh, now he's showing it on an iPhone. Is that a Droid? That's a Droid. That's the built-in.
Good, platform
the built-in
agnostic.
Browser.
They got an Apple.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Right?
Oh, he's saying, "Can I please get online?"
Yeah. He's always trying to get connected.
He's trying to get online. Let's see your password there.
Yeah.
Oh, what's he using? Is that any? That's the H. That's the Sense UI. That must be an Evo he's got there.
Who is it? I like the Evo.
I got an Evo coming. Evo. Sprint is going to be sending me a review unit.
Now, did you pay for this?
No. But I am going to buy one as soon as I can. I told them I want to buy it, and they said, "Well, we'll just send you one for a review term, and then you could buy it if you want." But I will buy it, I'm sure.
Pixel by pixel, what you would be seeing. Were the network not completely overloaded right now? In fact,
is it a desire? Felix thinks it's a desire. It looked like it was a bigger screen, but it was hard to tell.
I couldn't tell.
One last try.
It was definitely the HTC Sense UI.
We should use that HTML5 app cache feature.
The whole point
is that you see two different views of the app here.
So you guys think it's incredible?
And both of the apps are live. Let's see if
it makes more sense.
Makes sense.
The Incredible's
out. Evo's not out. Of course, if they had 4G, they might be able to.
Oh, hang on. Okay.
Oh, it's working.
Delete the last 2 minutes.
Okay.
Conference fail.
Okay.
So it is odd that they're showing a Sense device, isn't it?
And I've been doing lots of work.
But Google doesn't care, right? They want you to use Android.
They're making a point of showing that they don't care. Yeah. Like, we're not going to use a Nexus 1 and be accused of favoring something over or something else.
And it was dinner.
I haven't used Sense yet. I'm looking forward to trying.
It's pretty. I've only played with it. I've never used it, in real life.
I'm doing an experiment right now with my Nexus 1 because the battery life's been so terrible, and I've changed a number of the settings.
I'm going to press done on the camera,
including having it automatically stick with Wi-Fi, even if there's a 3G signal. There's some interesting kind of non-intuitive settings deep within.
Uh-huh.
And I also took off
the battery life.
That's the idea, yeah. And I also took off the app, the task killer. Because I was, you know, I've been getting strange slownesses and hesitation in the Nexus One. And I'm wondering if maybe I don't need a task killer. So I took the task killer off. I'm going to try it without a task killer and with some of these battery improvements just to see how well I can get through the day.
And I am going to say that you, Ben, are nuts.
If you're interested in that app directory that they were talking about earlier for Chrome, it's not up, but you can go to chrome.google.com/webstore. And check to see when it finally does get up.
Good. Google.com.
Chrome.google.com/webstore.
Versus maybe your normal expense report cycle where your boss sits on it for.
Got that from Josh Lowenson.
Thank you, Josh.
Over at CNET.
It's a good thing I'm still here. I haven't left yet. Okay, so I am nuts. Okay, so let's amend it then. So let's go and edit. Let's backtrack. And I'm not going to round the bill up this time. 100.
They should have had a separate Wi-Fi network.
Well, I noticed he joined the speakers network, so they do. But
here in California, so from Australia, I don't know what the total will be, but 148.
The Google I/O Twitter account just announced the storage news. That's weird. They're scooping themselves.
Well, they scooped themselves on the with the blog earlier on the Google Wave open invites. So is that the one more thing then that we're going to see the cloud storage?
These guys have got to go to Cupertino and get a lesson.
Yes. That's right. Oh, 148.13. Now
we complain about Apple locking down everything and not telling anyone anything, but they don't scoop themselves.
Ben, thank you. That was
wow. That's really.
anyway,
although in the end, what's the network, you know? Is there harm to that?
This is for developers, though. That's a big thing. It's a RESTful cloud service built on Google's storage and networking infrastructure, so it uses REST.
And
it is not S3.
200 keystrokes later, you have an app.
Okay, so this is different.
Set of tools.
This is the REST API thing.
You've got a nice widget library, an app framework to help you build apps that work.
I have a feeling he's about to say it right now.
Huge data sets that are running in the cloud.
Yeah, I might have looked on the stream like that was coming from there. It wasn't.
Great for diagnostics.
I was just Leo pulling it up.
On your desktop and in the cloud. And then you've got the knowledge that these applications that you're building with the tools that we're talking about here can be easily adapted to all the different mobile devices that your users are actually using. We hope you'll try these out. We're really excited about all these things that are coming in GWT 2.1 and Spring Roo and STS. A lot of great stuff. Please do download it and let us know what you think. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
He is so worried he's fired after that. After
again,
that presentation,
you want to hear more,
he's
want
fine.
To see these things in action,
worry,
try
dude.
Them yourself. The sessions, attend the session, talk to the engineers, download the code. You can build apps like that. You can have your own demo fun with your own applications that you've built on these open tools. Do your own innovation. The third thing we said we were going to show you is flexible deployment.
When you
were showing
stream,
you how to build
you,
these great
fast
web apps.
Did you fast forward? We're caught up, right?
I think
sure
we're caught up, yeah.
Locked in
that's
to
a good
one
question. No, we're live.
Yeah, we're live.
Well, the answer is, because you're building on open standards, you're not locked in. You've actually been seeing, over the last few demos, you've been seeing cloud portability in action. The first few demos you saw, built with one tool stack, open standards, were running on a development server right here on the development box. You then saw some demos when Bruce started showing you SpeedTracer using Insight. You saw those same demos, same application, deployed to a virtual machine running on a VMware instance using TC server.
I now have people in chat telling me my cauliflower is
telling Apple App Engine. Same application.
And they criticized us for being
Google App Engine. You saw SpeedTracer tracing across that. And how do you as a developer make that decision? What do you change in your app to do these different deployments? Well, Bruce showed you. If you want to deploy your app to Google
App Engine, it's a good question.
Clips using the tool set, you click on the button.
Does Compressor support WebM? Probably not.
Because this app is
yet.
Built on the open standards, the Java Container
but that's just
API,
a plugin, I'm sure.
Java Persistence API. If you want to deploy to any of the other open, standard supporting environments.
You know, watching this in Google Wave, the one thing that's not very good versus like a cover it live situation is that I have to continually manually scroll down.
Yep.
It doesn't, well, worse than that, in that situation.
New posts can be above where you are. So you have to use the next unread button. That's the way to do it. It'll jump around with you, but it'll.
Which is okay, but I'd rather just kind of.
Well, and the other problem with the next unread button is if you don't pay attention when you're pressing it, you'll go to the next wave.
Oh, that's not good. I have a grayed out right now, the next unread button.
I'd like to welcome Kevin Gibbs, the lead of the Google App Engine team, to show you what's happening in Google App Engine to help you work with all the applications that you need.
You're watching live coverage of the Google I.O. keynote. We're taking the feed from Google's own YouTube stream and glossing it. Tom Merritt is here. I'm Leo Laporte. We thank our friends at Slingbox for making this possible. Use Slingbox to watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home. Now available at Best Buy for an in-store demo near you. Visit slingbox.com.
Silver bullets are single solutions.
We plunged.
But instead, we
that's the plunger.
The productivity of your company as a whole.
It's got a filter.
What we can do to help.
And pressure.
Now, one area
but tell me if that's not the smoothest, finest cup of coffee. We also don't use boiling water. We use 175 degree water.
That's pretty smooth.
That's pretty smooth.
It looks like something from a hospital.
It does. It looks like a ginormous syringe without the needle.
As all that happens.
Meanwhile, back to Google I.O.
As your company grows from having a few internet apps to having hundreds, and from 10 employees to thousands, managing that whole ecosystem and keeping it healthy becomes an increasingly large challenge for you. So at Google, we thought about this problem, and we wanted to do something.
You know, we should do a coffee show.
Of course.
Yeah.
Are you a big coffee drinker?
Yeah.
Okay.
Google's hosting
I'd love to do a coffee show. I think you should do it, and I'll pop in once in a while. But I think
I need to find a coffee expert.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm an enthusiast, but I'm not an expert.
I think that would be great. I would love to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, that would kill. A coffee show would be really great. It'd also be a very fast show. We could do it in 10 minutes. It'd be easy. You might want to use that special slowdown feature on the iPod, however.
Right. Don't 2X it.
Our customers in VMware, it became increasingly clear to us that the public cloud in general, and Google's cloud in particular,
this week in Drip, I like it.
To writing enterprise software. We heard
that's good.
That you needed something that
Pretty
reliable.
Much everybody on. Twit is a coffee fanatic, so Steve Gibson, Paul Theroux.
Something with key features that your enterprise can't live without. We heard that you needed a better way to manage all of these.
Kaneko says your insurance does not cover a coffee show.
The best possible solution, both to the engineers of your company as well as the IT administrators. And finally,
by the way, we will be doing this week in Google. Paul Theroux's coming up in just a few minutes with Windows Weekly. Paul, we'll delay your start until they've said something of interest here at the Google I.O. keynote.
Which may be a long time.
Which may be a while. And then this week in Google coming up at 2000 UTC. That's 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Gina Trapani will be with us from San Francisco. Jeff Jarvis as well. And other Googlers, including the Wave guy, I believe.
Represents a new version of App Engine that was
built.
Oh,
App Engine for business. Now that's interesting.
Now we're getting something good again.
Face. It's composed of five features that we believe any business needs.
Is that the Java guy riding that jet engine? I believe it is.
It does look like him.
Those features are one, and he's got a Google Lunchbox management console, which makes it easy.
And he's flying the salt
see,
and pepper shaker I got on JetBlue.
And set security policies across all of the applications in your domain. Two, it comes with professional support. So that when it's crunch time and you need help with your application, you know that there's someone out there that you can reach. It also comes with a formal service level agreement, or SLA, for the first time with App Engine. That means that we're putting our money where our mouth is when it comes to the reliability of your business. And finally, it also comes with two additional key features that we've heard almost every enterprise needs. SSL for your company's domain and SQL databases. That's right.
SQL and SQL databases.
When Google App Engine for Business is completely available, you'll have the choice of using our scalable database.
Pronouncing
store,
it SQL.
Which is built on Bigtable.
Or SQL.
Or a standard SQL database. We know that these features are critical to enterprise adoption. And finally,
we will bring Paul in at 11 just so he can mock us.
A new pricing model that's based around something that's simple, your applications and your users. But, you know, I actually think the greatest thing about Google App Engine for Business is that it's based on the success that we've
had. Kevin Marks is noting that the keynote has somehow switched to corporate developers about halfway through, and that's true.
Strong, yeah. And still growing.
And not surprising.
It comes with all
no, I mean, it's a developers conference, and maybe we made a mistake assuming that they were going to actually cover something we cared about
faster. I mean, the first half of it was stuff was
very important,
yeah.
Big news, and I'm hoping there will be some Froyo news, but maybe they'll do that tomorrow.
They may have trickled it all out.
Yeah, maybe they may do that tomorrow.
All for free when they're ready to share it.
And there may not be much Froyo news.
May not be anything to say.
Yeah, we don't already know.
That's right. That may well be it. And for people who are saying, a couple of people in the chat were saying, well, we just want to see the feed. We're just replaying the feed from YouTube. If you go to youtube.com/developers, you can watch it without our nonsensical comments. If you're watching our feed, it's because you want our nonsensical comments.
That's right. Or whenever they happen to be sensical. Everyone's
sensical comments, too.
Your applications cost $8 per user, up to a maximum of $1,000 per application per month. That's it.
$8. No App Engine really has been an enabling technology for people to create new ideas on the web. And it's really been a significant thing. I think this actually is a fairly important announcement from Google. It goes with Google Docs well, and they're really trying to keep businesses in the Google space. So for business, which is deploying intranet applications, this seems like a good solution.
Well, what Google is trying to find with all of these experiments, with Google Wave, with apps, with everything they're doing that isn't search, is another revenue stream to supplement the main river that they get from search. Because thinking long term, which is one thing I like that Google does, that stream won't last forever. Even if it's going to last a long, long time, it won't last forever. And they want to find a second river of money.
Well, but I think the way they've priced this, I don't know if this is going to be a river of money. This might merely be to defray their costs.
Yeah, this may not
be
it.
Yeah,
but they want to try all these things. This could
they are trying to get the corporation in the Google.
This could grow into an enterprise thing.
And from day one, Google has sold enterprise search boxes to businesses with the Google stuff on it, software on it.
Yeah, we have one sitting in the CNET server room.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that is a business they're familiar with and are in. And I guess that might be the next thing you would do is sell, Google App Engine boxes or something like it.
All right. So let me go ahead and open it up. I'm going to open
Adam Pash, Lifehacker editor in the Wave, now, is pointing out that the background is alive. The circuit board background is alive. So and when we go back to the shot of the speaker, you'll
that,
see.
That shows he's not.
This is really how bored he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa, it's moving.
Now, if you've used App Engine before, the screen should be familiar. It's our normal list of the applications that you work on as an engineer at the company. But as you go to create an application, you'll notice there are a few things that are different.
Now, Robert wants to know if energy drinkers would find a home on a coffee show.
For the apps that you want to create,
that would be This Week in Caffeine.
Application identifiers are limited to being
we're not going to do an energy drink show.
So you no
Maybe
longer
we
have
should
to hunt around
get a sponsor.
For one in the global namespace across Google. You'll also notice that we've got a different host name listed here rather than appspot.com. When you create an application on Google App Engine for Business, it's automatically mapped into your company's domain. You don't have to do any DNS setup or do any virtual host or anything like that. It just works with your company's domain name and brand.
SurlyButcher.com? I'm not sure I want to buy from SurlyButcher.com. Doesn't seem like a company I'd like to do business with.
So I'm going to open that up for you. But before I do,
I wonder if
he's definitely someone I don't want to do business with in person. Maybe over the web would be the best.
Is he next door to the soup Nazi?
So I should be logged out now. Now I'm going to go ahead and open up the blog. Yeah. And you can see it asked me to log back in. That's because Google App Engine for Business is secure by default. Security policies for all the applications that are created are set by the domain administrator, and developers can't change them without permission. That means that you can be sure that your internet apps are safe.
This guy has actually memorized his speech.
Yeah, and Adam's typing in Wave right now. He finds App Engine interesting, but this seems more like a breakoff presentation than a keynote. And I think that has been the main thing we've been reacted to in these past two parts of this presentation. Is this
really
this
keynote
seems to
material?
Be the keynote, but then now it's turning into these mini keynotes
that
are interesting to the people who are into this topic.
A breakout is exactly what it should be.
Yeah. Company, you'll notice that there's a new link up here, which gives me a link.
Mary Jo Foley is now reporting on her Microsoft blog that, and thanks to Web 2415 for this note, that IE9 will be supporting WebM, which would be huge.
Yeah, I thought I saw that on the chart.
That Microsoft was there.
That yeah. IE9 was listed at the very, way back. Do you remember back at 9 a.m. when this started?
Oh,
when we saw that chart.
Hi, dimly.
Oh, the memories.
Ah, yes. I wanted to capture that. I should have captured that chart because that might have been the most important thing in there. There's a question mark next to the headline, so I don't know.
Control who has access to which application and what level.
Well, because they made a snarky mark about IE, but then they had IE9 in a blue dot or a blue box on the graph.
Go and deploy a new version of the application. And I can go under the data store viewer for the app.
They're going to use the BSD open source license for WebM. That's a good license. Better than, I think, than the...
Is that the same license Darwin is on?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's better than the GPL3 because it doesn't have that viral requirement.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that for this application, I'm only listed as a viewer. That means I can get to this dashboard and I can view logs and so forth. But if I go to the data store viewer, I can't change any data in the app.
Microsoft is confirming it will support VP8 via a just published blog post. Quote, when it comes to video and HTML5, we're all in. This is actually what you were talking about, Tom. It's in its HTML5 support, IE9 will support playback of H.264 as well as VP8.
There you go, yeah.
When the user has installed a VP8 codec on Windows, so it will not come with a VP8 codec.
Well, that makes sense, though.
Well, that's weak support. That's not exactly the support you'd like to see.
It's weak because Microsoft's in charge of both of those things, and there's no reason
they could put the codec in.
Put the codec
in. If it's unencumbered, they should.
But the browser doesn't necessarily come with the codec, usually, so...
Well, it will in Mozilla, though. I mean, that's the key, is that plug-in free video is what we're looking for.
But it's not you won't need a plug-in. You just need to install the codec.
Well, it's in effect. You have to download and install something, so that's...
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But when I go to a list of all of the applications for the company...
But if I've installed the codec previously, I don't have to install anything.
It'll just work, yeah.
It's not like I have to install a plug-in into Internet Explorer. Yeah, it's kind of stupid. It's like, why not just give them the codec? I mean, so,
well, I think, I think maybe they'll change their tune on that. If it's completely free and unencumbered, then there's no reason not to have it come, especially if it's not huge.
Other than navigating the torturous Microsoft bureaucracy for pushing updates into the operating system, right?
It's not yet entirely available for everyone to use.
Paul is waiting. Windows Weekly is being delayed while we wait for this keynote to end, if it ever will.
Now, I'm hearing now that it's going to go till noon, so we may in fact interrupt it. Let me pull up Paul anyway. He can chime in.
Yeah.
Because some of the features that I told
this is ongoing live coverage of the marathon march known as the Google I/O keynote.
Doogie Howser speaking right now. And
about when each one
is it our own fault for having high expectations of
it is my fault. I thought it would be.
It's not just you though. I mean,
no, others expected.
A lot of the internet was a buzz.
Well, and I think Google missed an opportunity to grab some attention. Let's get Paul Thurrott on here, see if he agrees.
Well, they may have thought we'll put the interesting things up at the top of the keynote, which they did. And then people will go away when they get bored. We just haven't gone away yet.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Paul is in Redmond, where you've been playing with the Windows Phone 7 for your new book. How's that been going?
I can neither confirm nor deny those.
Okay. Have you been watching the speech here, the Google I.O.?
Oh, no, I have more important things going on than Google I.O. What have they said?
Well, the big story, and Mary Jo Foley is covering this right now on her Microsoft blog on ZDNet. Google has announced that they will open source, as we thought they probably would, VP8, at a completely unencumbered video codec. They're going to call it WebM.
Yeah, Mozilla, and Microsoft's going to support it. Yeah,
well, Mozilla said they'll support it. Microsoft says it's going to support it in IE9, except you got to download the codec yourself.
Yeah, I blogged about this too, Leo.
Oh, you've already said this.
Yeah.
I should just read the Supersite for Windows.
It's okay.
Cloud portability solution we showed you, working with VMware on open standards, made that happen. And we said we were going to show you how to juggle 1,000 applications for your company and keep your sanity. App Engine for Business allows that to happen. If you want to learn more,
this is kind of interesting, Paul. They have announced that they're going to make the Google App Engine available as a $10 per user with a $1,000 cap enterprise version.
$8 per user.
$8 per user and $1,000 cap as an enterprise edition.
We started this morning by talking about the power of
we started hours ago.
Standards leads to innovation.
We started last week.
I want that Sharks jersey.
Some of the people who started using the tools that we showed you today, some of the people who started using Spring several years ago, started using Google Web Toolkit 2 years ago, you're in this room. When you started using those
You're watching live coverage of the Google I.O. keynote, Hour 3, America Held Hostage. I'm Leo Laporte with Tom Merritt.
Tie a Google ribbon.
We want to thank our friends at Slingbox for making this possible. All our breaking news coverage going forward is going to be sponsored by Slingbox. We're really thrilled to have them. We invite you to use Slingbox to watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home. We use Slingbox to stream high-quality video from our remote broadcast. It's just amazing. Now available at Best Buy, and if you want to learn more or find an in-store demo near you, visit slingbox.com. There we go. The end of the Google I.O. keynote. And,
I mean, did they announce anything?
Is that the end? Our long national
nightmare is over. They announced a couple of things. They the VP8 open source was huge. That was the really big story, but not unexpected. They also announced, and this is kind of a surprise, a Chrome Web Apps store, which isn't live yet, but it will allow people to develop HTML5 or it looks. Somebody said in the chat room, and I haven't confirmed this, Unity apps as well, that you could then sell. So the new tab window in Chrome going forward will show either the most visited sites, but there'll be a button that says show your installed apps, and these can be paid or free apps, HTML5 or I presume Flash. They showed Plants vs. Zombies. That was in Flash. So maybe PopCap and others will, instead of just selling games on their website, use the Google infrastructure to start selling apps directly into Chrome. What we don't know yet is whether the App Store will work in any other platform, but it's clearly a key development for Chrome OS going forward. Because really, when you install Chrome OS, what you get is a browser and really nothing else.
Yeah.
And exactly. So having an App Store available will make a huge difference for that. You know.
Yeah. Smart.
It's smart. Tom Merritt, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. Tom Merritt will be joining us soon.
Thank you
very much.
With his
new show, Tech News Today, that launches June 1st, TNT. We are interested in your input as to what would be the best time for us to do it. We're thinking 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern time. That's 22:30 UTC. And then put out as a podcast shortly after. We can turn it around, I think, in an hour or so. So you'd be able to hear it the next morning. And that would be one problem with the 5:30 Eastern, is if you wanted to listen to a podcast on your way home, we might need to put it out earlier.
But let us know.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we could do that. I guess, do we have Tom at twit.tv yet? I think we set that up.
Tom TNT at twit.tv already works.
That'd be a good place to email it. TNT at twit.tv.
Yeah, TNT at twit.tv. That would be the best place.
And Tom's trial channel is at ustream.tv/user/acedetect. A-C-E-D-T-E-C-T.
That's what keeps it beta. You have to be able to spell that ridiculous word.
Spell it. You can go there. And until June 1st, that's where Tom will be growing his beard.
Right.
Well, that concludes our live coverage of the Google I.O. announcements. Some good announcements, some interesting announcements, including the opening sourcing of VP8. They're going to name it WebM. Mozilla has announced that they will support it, plug-in free out of the box. Of course, Chrome will. Microsoft says they will do so if you download a codec in IE9. We haven't heard from Apple yet. They weren't included anywhere on any of those announcements. Also, a Chrome Web App Store where you'll be able to buy applications from within Chrome and presumably Chrome OS as well. So we thank you for joining us. We also thank our sponsor, Slingbox, for making our breaking news segments possible. From now on, they're a new sponsor on the Twit Network. We invite you to try Slingbox. If you haven't tried it, it's fantastic. Go to slingbox.com to find a Slingbox demo near you. It's the best way to watch TV when you're away from home. Slingbox.com. Thank you, Tom Merritt, for being here.
Thanks, Leo.
I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Twit. We'll be right back.